much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's Monday.
I got a perfect cup of coffee and a Danish on the way. You wanna start with good morning? How's your weekend?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Bags here. It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not. You mind if we go through these?
No.
What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? It's just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
That ain't cool, man. That hurt my heart, man, to see that.
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
My morning show has a first name. It's K-E-V-I-N. My morning show has a second name. It's B-E-A-N-N. I love to listen every day, and if I had to, it's what I'd say. You know.
And now.
Sorry, our sound guy is probably masturbating.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, very nice. Morning, everybody. A brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning, the 6th of May.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We missed you so much.
Well, not enough to get my computer to work, apparently.
Oh, really? Still
Look,
not working?
If you don't want me to be here, just call me. Oh. Don't break my computer every time I go away.
I think you're underestimating the scope of that problem. Everything doesn't work.
Well,
it's
that's
not
true.
Just your computer.
But
I know. All she wants to do is traffic.
I know.
It just
it's
seems
raining.
Like, right?
It's going to be bad.
Nah, everything's going to be great during the rain.
Can we get Lisa some help before she has a breakdown?
Don't make me cry.
Yes, we will try. We don't need her to cry.
I'm actually, Lisa was on vacation last week, so that's why we're welcoming her back. And I'm actually surprised to see you working here because, of course, it's International Clitoris Week. And it seems like that's something you should be taking off. But I guess there are so many of those types of celebrations now that, you know, you can't celebrate them all.
Well, no. And really, the biggest celebration was last night.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Because
that's the
a lot of people can't take the day off. So
who knew?
Sunday night is really the night that we go to town, so to speak.
Okay. All right. So you took care of it.
I took care of it.
You've celebrated. Okay.
It's all good.
Speaking of celebrating the clitoris and speaking of the sexy time, here's a great story out of the Chicagoland suburbs. Prospect Heights is the place. A 14-year-old boy was at home. And, you know, he thought he would take advantage of his parents being gone. So he went online and set himself up a hooker.
All right.
Okay.
Pretty sweet, right? 14 mm-hmm. years old?
So far, so good.
Right. So she shows up. Her name is Derica Brooks. She is 22 years old. So she shows up at his place. And they had arranged, you know, online to pay. He was going to pay her for sex. He's home alone. They go up to the bedroom. She says to the 14-year-old boy, take off your pants, which he does. Gets on the bed. She pulls out.
A gun!
Pepper spray.
Oh!
Sprays him in the face, grabs his iPad and his piggy bank, and then flees. That's a disappointing experience for
wow.
a young man, isn't it?
He must have been so excited 2 seconds
yes.
before that.
Yes. The teen noted the description of her car and called the police, which I'm shocked at, by the way, that he would call the police. Basically, he's trying to line up prostitution, which is illegal, but he calls the police because he got robbed. I'm so surprised by that. They were able to trace the woman to an Elk Grove, another Chicago suburb, Village Motel, after she turned on the stolen iPad and he had pinged it. He had that, where's my iPad kind of
sure.
deal on it. So they were able to track her down in the motel with his stuff, and she was arrested as being held on $10,000 bail.
And then he was arrested.
Did he get in any kind of trouble?
It doesn't say at all that he got in any kind of trouble.
How about that?
Maybe they felt like, the embarrassment and having to explain that to your folks when they come home was probably enough punishment.
Oh, yeah. They told his parents.
He learned his lesson. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect that he won't be making that mistake again.
Yeah. He'll put his laptop away.
I didn't grow up in, obviously, I'm not a 14-year-old boy, so I can't imagine what it's like to grow up now as a teenager. But I don't know that I would have ever had the guts to go online and line up a prostitute to come to my parents' house when they were out. I just don't think I would have been able to.
I don't think I would have either when I was 14.
When you're 14, yeah, it just seems like that's too grown up and too scary.
15, 15 and a half.
Oh, I was going to give you 17. Yeah. You think 15?
No, maybe.
Just a little year early.
Just guessing. I don't know.
So that's not what he was hoping for.
No bueno.
Anyway, no bueno indeed. Mm.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What the mother effing seeing effing effing king F is going on right now?
Well, that's a great question. We're going to talk about a new documentary called Aroused about the adult porn industry, which we like to talk about from time to time. Deborah Anderson is going to be in the studio, and Jesse Jane is also going to be in the studio.
Okay.
As porn star, so we're going to talk about that world and what's going on. You did not know your partner was gay. You were completely surprised by that. We'll talk to you today.
Yeah.
We have Colin Hanks on the program talking about the Kings in the playoffs.
Loves hockey. Mm-hmm.
Down 2-1. Play again tonight. Thanks for that tweet, Bean.
How
will be happening today?
Dare you?
What's up with Florida, I believe we've got today. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And Lisa, you didn't hear this, but they released some lyrics from an old Bob Dylan song. What was it, 65, Bean?
63.
Mm-hmm.
And the song was called, and I'm not making this up, it's going to sound like a joke, but the song was called Go Away, You Bombs. It was his, you know, his piece.
This is Bob's heyday, right?
Yes. It was his heyday.
Never recorded. These are lyrics that they're up for auction right now of a song that he wrote that was not recorded. And apparently it's considered quite a find and very valuable. It's going to go for a lot of money.
Go Away, You Bombs.
A five-year-old.
That really does sound like a kindergarten lyric. Go away, you bombs.
Or Sam the Armenian Comedian.
You stupid bombs, you go away.
He ate you.
What the hell is up with Bob Dylan? That's a new feature. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a look at the Showbiz Beat when we get back.
I got to tell you, ahead of the first Showbiz Beat of the day here on the Kevin Bean Show for Monday, I got to give it up for my man Ralph Garman. He is... he's a showbiz maven.
Why?
You said that Iron Man movie was going to be a hit, Ralph. And out of the blue, look at it. Incredible.
He's a showbiz maven?
Well done.
Is that good?
Just maven impressive. Good? Yeah, it's really good.
All right.
I'm just impressed, man.
Ralph is saying nothing.
Just wait until someone tells me it's over.
Hey, Ralph.
Try to give you credit for the success of the film.
It is Monday.
God damn it.
Top 10 moves at the box office is what we look at each and every Monday morning. Iron Man 3, second best opening weekend of all time.
Of all movies, all time ever?
Of all time, all movies ever, ever, ever.
Wow.
Behind last year's best opening weekend for a movie ever, 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 which was The Avengers. So any movie with Iron Man in it pretty much does pretty well. $175.3 million at the box office this weekend.
$175.3 million.
Don't forget the point three. That's not nothing right there, that point
three. That's crazy. A huge opening is 70.
Yeah. Not 80. 100. 80 is a smash hit.
Right.
100 is beyond your wildest dreams.
Right. It doesn't hurt that, though, if you want to see the 3D. Like, I paid $18.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
A little extra for the IMAX, a little extra for the 3D.
Yeah.
Stop your bitching, Lisa.
I'm just saying.
Get right. First day back.
It helps.
Oh, boo-hoo-hoo.
I was happy to do it.
Everything was 40% off. I got a massage. Where's all my money? Come on. It's Iron Man 3, for God's sakes. Did everybody go? Everybody
yes, went? Absolutely.
You went? What? You went?
Absolutely.
Beerbug, did you go? Loser.
Beerbug's the only person in America that did not go.
Bean, did you go?
I didn't go.
Bean
I did not go.
Well, that's not surprising.
I'll see it. I will get to it. I love those movies, too, just not this weekend.
Great great film, and well done.
They all die.
Congratulations.
Hey, sorry.
Spoiler. Sorry.
Pain and Gain was second. 42 was third. Oblivion was fourth. The Croods, number five at the box office. Then The Big Wedding, Mud, Oz the Great and Powerful, Scary Movie 5, and Place Beyond the Pines. Just to give you an idea, no one went to see anything else this weekend. They were all also-rans. But Pain and Gain, second most popular movie at the box office this weekend, made just $7 million.
Ah,
so
everybody
went to Iron Man 3.
Wow.
This weekend. Well, maybe except for Sugar Bear and Mama. That's right. Mama June from Honey Boo Boo and Sugar Bear, her boyfriend from Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. Apparently, yesterday, in their Georgia home, they finally tied the knot. He made an honest woman out of her.
Hasn't he wanted that for a long time?
Yes.
And she just keeps saying no?
I'm desperate to marry her, and she's been keeping him at arm's length.
Where do you think that
stomach's length, whatever's bigger.
Where do you think that desperation comes from? When you look at
June. At her. How can you be with that woman and not want to possess her body and soul? Word is, it was a very traditional ceremony. June's dad,
drove her down the aisle in a forklift.
Rolled over another toe.
Actually, it wasn't traditional at all. All the guests had to come dressed in A, camouflage, or hot pink.
That's what they demanded?
Demanded.
Camouflage or hot pink?
Yep. They were in camouflage.
What?
The bride and groom were dressed in camouflage.
You look thin in camouflage.
How do you
camouflage Mama June, by the way?
Wow.
What do you dress her as, the Matterhorn?
Look like a mountain? Yeah, you had to wear hunting attire or hot pink. Don't be discouraged if you weren't invited, because you're going to find this hard to believe. The TLC network had a crew there on scene, and cameras were rolling ceremony. So,
oh, that's great news.
I'm not promising anything, but there's a chance that we may see a special wedding episode of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo sometime in the future.
We were discussing this before you came in, Ralph, about how unlikely it is that this wedding would have happened if they weren't on doing a television show. Doesn't it sound like this is something that's just manufactured for the show because they know it'll be good ratings?
Absolutely.
Probably, because she always didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Yep. No interest in marrying him until now.
She always did want to, Kevin. You're absolutely right.
Always didn't want to. Is that what I said?
Never, as some people call it.
He belonged at that wedding.
How dare you?
You should have been the officiant, Kevin. You should have married
him. I could have done that. Could have been the preacher.
Little her!
Now what?
Catch me up. So she left.
Oh, Lisa,
rehab?
You have no idea. No, we don't have that kind of time.
Just a little bit.
She was supposed to go to the rehab in New York State.
Right.
That was the deal with the legal system here in Southern California. She opted out of that one. She wouldn't go to that one because they wouldn't let her smoke. So she immediately went to the airport instead and flew to Newport Beach. She was going to go to the rehab down there. And so she went to that one, and the court begrudgingly said, okay, you can go to that one. She went to that one, didn't like the looks of it, didn't like their cell phone policy, so she went shopping instead. And the court said, look, you get her into a rehab by midnight Friday morning, or you are going to, we're going to send a warrant out for arrest, and she's going directly to jail. So she ended up at the Betty Ford Clinic.
Okay.
So
okay.
Three rehabs in 24 hours.
Well, they
hours.
Give her a lot of breaks.
Yes, yeah, they do.
They absolutely do. So she is now, she made it just under the wire of their deadline, and by all accounts, she is, as far as we know, we haven't checked her bed this morning, but she is in rehab as far as we know. But the interesting thing is she did an interview with Piers Morgan just before she went inside for the London Daily Mail newspaper. Fascinating interview. Saying that she's not an addict. She doesn't even belong in rehab. What's everyone's problem with her? Why are they being so mean? She's not an addict. First of all, she's only done cocaine maybe four or five times in her life, she tells Piers Morgan. She also says
she can't live without her Adderall. I know that.
She doesn't even drink that much. Because when she was 17 years old, she got drunk, and I quote, Mom made me sleep with vomit still on me so I'd understand how it felt.
Ugh.
And from that point on, she's never had a drinking problem.
Really?
So why is everyone being so hard on this girl? She doesn't do coke. She doesn't have a drinking problem. Why is the poor girl inside?
Does she just get really sleepy?
I think that's what
it is. Why is everybody so angry with her?
She gets really, really sleepy.
Okay.
Madness. And I'm boycotting Maxim magazine forever.
What?
Boycotting? Forever?
Forever. Last week we talked about Mila Kunis being named the sexiest woman alive, according to FHM magazine.
Right, which that's fine, right?
Yeah.
You're good with that.
You know who topped Maxim's annual Hot 100 list?
No.
This year? Think of like...
Can't be Gwyneth Paltrow, can I?
No, that's BS.
That's
people
ridiculous.
Magazine.
All right.
They're more ridiculous than Gwyneth Paltrow. Absolutely more ridiculous than Gwyneth Paltrow.
Farrah Abramson?
If she existed, I would say that even that person would possibly be a better choice than the one they picked.
The singer we hate, Tadalf Swindler.
Even if it was Tadalf Swindler, I would say, yes, I can see it because she does. That's a pretty girl. I know she's hateable, but she's pretty. You won't believe this.
Snooki.
It's Snooki-esque, but it's not so bad. I won't tease you any longer. Miley Cyrus named the hottest of their Hot 100.
Really?
No, boo!
Really?
Have they seen her?
Miley freaking Cyrus.
No.
Really?
Isn't that nuts?
I agree with your boycott.
Look, she looks better than she used to, I think.
Really? I think the opposite. That weird butchy haircut she's got going, that bleach blonde boy do, and whatever else she's got going on.
I don't care what else, whatever she looks like. She's not.
No.
Nah. She's not at the top of that list.
No, that's
she's
absurd. Not in she's the not top in... 100, no, let alone the top not. Of the 100.
She's not.
Wow. Madness.
That is crazy.
We're circling the drain, people. Get your canned foods, get your bottled water, because it's all coming to an end.
Has that been confirmed by Maxim yet, Ralph? And the reason I ask is because when I saw this story a couple days ago, it was because Miley tweeted it. And I just wondered if that was just her being wacky and if it maybe there's nothing to it.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But Miley did say it. I can't imagine she would say that.
I can't either, but true, who knows? But she does seem crazy.
Wow. We'll get our crack term of team of researchers on that.
We don't have any researchers.
What?
No.
I think what happened to the researchers?
We've never had researchers.
We had to let them go.
Oh, no.
I think we do have our friend Dan Bova from Maxim on this week to discuss the list. So believe me.
Well, for his sake, I hope it's all a big charade.
Yeah, that'll be first item of business is how we're going to have him deported.
First and maybe only.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Bob Seger, 68 years old today. I'll never forgive him for that long time, old time rock and roll thing. I'm
Why?
Sorry, I just can't get over it. I'm sorry.
That song,
I can't get over that song. It's one of those songs. I just can't hear it anymore.
All right.
It's not his fault. I mean, the problem is they played it too much.
Oh, it's not a bad song. You just
it's not
heard
a bad song.
Much.
You know, all that right. Risky business thing, sure. And then every wedding yeah. You've ever gone to. But I'm sorry. I have to. He's off the list.
Okay.
He's off right. The list. Tom Bergeron, TV host, of course, Dancing with the Stars, 58 years old today. He's a really good host, by the way. He's really good
sure
at what
is.
He does. Very relaxed and natural and comfortable and seems spontaneously sort of funny and smart.
He's the anti-Seacrest.
He is. He's very talented. George Clooney, 52 years old today. Adrian Palicki, currently can be seen in the new G.I. Joe movie. She is 30 years old. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 42. Gabourey Sidibe. She was precious, don't you know?
She was.
She's 30 years old today. How many cakes at that point? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Want to thank everybody who bought tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 when they went on sale Friday at noon. Of course, the show is completely sold out with proceeds going to terrific local charities. Heal the Bay, I believe, was one. What's the other one, you guys?
Al Wooten?
No.
Surf Riders.
Surf Riders. Thank you. Thank you, Beer Mug.
Thank you, Mugs.
So, yeah, the show is sold out, but the good news is we have tickets to give away to you, and we plan on dealing them out starting at, this morning, next hour, we'll give you your very first chance to win, and then after that, starting at 9 a.m. this morning, we'll have them for you every half hour all day long until 8 p.m. So lots of chances to win your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, which is coming up, wow, very soon, next weekend.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is.
It is crazy. Yeah, happened fast. So that's on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. First, though, let's take a look at some email. We got lots of great response to a lot of topics we've been doing recently here on the show. Last week, we were talking about that new Virgin Airlines plan that allows you to send snacks or a drink to somebody on the plane with a text message. You kind of flirt a little bit with people in flight. We got some mixed reaction on the phones from, and here's a couple of emails on that topic. Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa Ding. I love the Virgin Airlines new drink chat service. I love meeting new people. You can always turn off the services if it's not your type of thing. But my only question is, are they also going to be creating more space in the plane to account for the increased number of passengers who care to join the Mile High Club? Seems like they should look into this. Erica.
Interesting.
So you really hit it off. What do you do then, right?
It should be like a lounge or something.
Definitely.
Where you can go and it says occupied.
Exactly, yes. iMarina writes in, two things are going to happen with this Virgin thing. People are no longer going to want to board Virgin airplanes with T-shirts and flip-flops because everyone wants to look good to be hoping someone will send them free drinks. The other thing is that the two or three hotties on the flight will get all the texts and all the drinks, and then the fatties will be mad that they wore those uncomfortable heels and clothing for nothing. I give this whole service a month. It's a disaster.
Good point.
I'm sorry. Here's a bizarre topic. Hello. I'm a longtime listener and first-time emailer. Anyway, I wanted to write to you because I wanted to suggest a topic for the Kevin and Bean Show, which is to have people call in. And I don't think we've ever done this. Have people call in who are asexual.
Oh, interesting.
Asexuality is the absence of the desire to have sex. And I know that's probably taboo to you and most of your K-Rock listeners. Well, I'm one of those people. And I wanted to know if there are any other K-Rock listeners that are the same.
I think that would be fascinating.
Is this email from a boy or a girl?
This is from a girl.
Oh, then that's terrible news. Are you kidding me? I hate that.
Asexual, not a robot that has no feelings, just don't feel like having sex, just not interested in any way.
I wonder what Dr. Drew would say about that. Is that because that doesn't – I mean, unless there's something physically wrong with her, some sort of hormone problem or something like that, usually you would think that, you know, she got touched or something bad happened to her that would kind of turn that switch off, right?
I do still enjoy cuddling, making out, watching porn, and working on myself, but that's all.
She's the worst girlfriend ever.
So that sounds like she had a very bad interaction with a guy.
Sounds like boys don't make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. Wow, that is interesting. All right, good idea. Thank you very much. Here's a couple of emails about the topic we did recently about embarrassing celebrity encounters. I think we found out that almost all of us have had one or another where you unexpectedly run into a celebrity, somebody that you really admire, and you hope that you'll make a lasting impression, then it'll be impressive and it'll be a moment. But usually didn't work out that way. I couldn't get through on the phone line when you guys were talking about it, but here's what happened to me. When I was 17, I saw Tom Morello at a car show. I was a huge Rage fan. I stalked him for about 5 minutes because I was too excited, trying to get my nerve up to go talk to him. I finally went up to him and I said, "Are you Tom Morello?" And he said, "Why, yes, I am." I said, "From Rage Against the Machine, right?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Yes." Uh-huh. I said, "Thank you."
Mm-hmm. That's it?
Awkward silence. Then I walked away. I knew you guys would have enjoyed the story. Cody. Hurts. That's not what he hoped would happen.
No.
Dear Kevin Devine, loyal podcast listener with an embarrassing celebrity encounter. I was working in a movie theater that had recently implemented a strict policy that no one could enter the theater without a ticket, even to use the bathroom. I was on a break chatting with the ticket taker and was surprised that he let someone in to check on his son. So I said to both of them, "Oh, is this a new policy? What's going on here?" To which he replied, "No, but I thought I'd make an exception. This is Wayne Gretzky." I believe my reply was, "Oh, carry on then. Keep up the good work. Fire beer mug."
No kidding.
So he's the dick that walks up to the fellow employee at the movie theater, giving him a hard time about letting Wayne Gretzky go in to use the bathroom.
Yeah, Wayne can pee wherever he wants.
Exactly.
He
just pee
right
there in the lobby.
Right in the lobby.
Exactly.
Right. Here's a bizarre email. Help me make some sense of this. The subject is Wallflowers Backstage.
Okay.
All right.
Wallflowers. Who's
the band, right?
Yeah. But
a while ago.
They haven't put out an album in a long time, or have they?
They still keep making music.
Do
we
they?
Just don't play it.
Oh. Dear Kevin, I would love your input regarding two old passes from when I was in Los Angeles. I want to see how long it would take to get me kicked out. I think if I ask him why his father sings with marbles in his mouth while he's so very easy to understand, might be an edgy question. Is this Doto?
Sounds like it.
It comes from Holly. Maybe I should start off with his favorite color and food. Just a question. Sincerely, Holly.
So she's writing to you to run the questions that she wants to ask Jacob Dylan about.
But it says about two old passes from when I was in Los Angeles. So it sounds like it's something in the past.
I have no idea what
I could
she's
not
about.
Make sense of this whatsoever.
I have
she
no
needs
idea.
To start calling the Afro line.
Yes, she does.
And leave us the hell out of the loop.
Yes, she does.
One more. I posted a question on Twitter the other day because we are playing this new Daft Punk song a lot. And it is the hottest record on the radio station right now.
Yes,
it is. It's number one in lots of countries around the world. It's just out of the box. It's one of those songs that people hear the first time they love it. But I've heard from a couple of people, you know, the old... Hey, I thought you were K-rock, not K-rap, you know, or crap, you know, as they say sometimes. A couple of people who have complained that it's like a disco song, which it absolutely is. There's no question it's a disco song.
Yeah, it's 100% disco.
But it's awesome, right? So I was asking for responses, and I got to tell you, all the times that I've asked questions on Twitter, I got more response to this question than anything that I have ever asked. And the responses are varied. Definitely the hit of the summer, says Adam. I agree, it's just disco, says Tim. I already lived through that once. Avoiding disco is how I became a K-Rock listener in the first place. Kathy writes in, totally love it. Combines old and new sounds, gets everyone dancing in our house. And as a result, and as a rule, we generally don't even dance. So that's a big plus.
All right.
Melissa writes in, I love it. It makes me want to shake my boobs and my booty on someone.
Same here.
Nothing wrong with that. Keep playing it. I love it. I can't wait for the album. It's absolutely life-changing. It just goes on and on and on. And then there's one guy, El Carano, who says, don't care for the Daft Punk song. Love the Kevin and Bean Daft Punk song, though.
Oh, we don't have to play that.
And that just sounds to me like he's just hating us is all it is. Has nothing to do with Daft Punk.
That's not the hit. That doesn't make people dance.
He just loves what DJ Omar Khan did to us. Come on now. Kevin and Bean are really dumb.
Sarah Abramson. Pretty dope, man. Fear mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully,
Oh, my God!
Kevin
and Bean are really dumb, really bad, and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky.
Oh, my.
What?
Kevin, who's your girlfriend? Bobcat leaves. Gemma Arterton.
I can't say your last
name. Give it another guy.
What an idiot. He's a dear. What? Who's that? Huh? Was that what we just talked to? Was it what?
Yeah, what's up?
Here's. Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad, and not awesome.
I'd rather listen to my bum. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky. George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road, and you're special on BS. What's the abbreviation you're special that you're doing on tonight? Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad. See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal. You know what I'm saying? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I love that.
I prefer Daft Punk. Considering our only job is talking, it seems like right. We may be failing.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We talk to him every Monday morning at this time. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good. Doing good. Fine. Always good to talk to you. It was weird. My wife, out of the blue last night, asked me, she said, What's TMZ stand for? And I told her, you know, 30 Mile Zone, because I remember when you started the site, you explained that to us and stuff. How often does that come up? Or is it now everybody knows TMZ as TMZ and they don't even bother to think what the letters stand for anymore, Harvey?
No, it's hilarious that you ask me that because, you know, we just moved our offices.
Right.
And we have this big piece of plywood from floor to ceiling, this huge piece of plywood. And so I walked in this morning and I turned and it almost hit me over the head. It says 30 Mile Zone in this big stencil. No, a lot of people do. I mean, we had a big thing when we first named the site. Someday I'll tell you the story about, it's too long a story now, but I'll tell you the story about how we ended up with the name 30 Mile Zone. But we decided that we'd call it TMZ, and if it ever became successful, maybe people would ask what it means. So there you go.
Okay. There you go. How about that? Well, you know,
mission accomplished.
We've extended the invitation to you many times when you finally get a break to come in and spend some time with us in studio. We'd love to hear the whole story about the thing happen because at the time, nobody thought we needed another entertainment site. That's what's crazy about that. And now you're the only one that matters. So, well, let's move on and talk about the news. Your little friend Lindsay Lohan has had a lot going on since we spoke to you last Monday. What a bizarre, crazy few days going on with her, right?
Well, first of all, I've decided she's totally diabolical. And smarter than anyone else.
Is that right?
Well, she always avoids jail. Could you do that?
No, absolutely not.
I'm serious. Could you do that as well as her?
No,
absolutely not. No.
You would be locked up. You would be somebody's bitch.
Yes, I would.
And she doesn't just avoid jail. She does it in a way that is insulting to the court. It's almost like she's flipping off the court while she's ignoring their direct orders and still getting to do with whatever she wants.
But I figured out how she does it. I finally think I figured it out.
All right, what's her secret?
And I think you'll buy it when I tell you.
Right.
She waits until the very last minute to show that she's not going to obey. And then she creates chaos. And nobody can get order out of the chaos. And she skates. She always, you know, she's always supposed to be there. She's supposed to be there. She's supposed to be there. She's supposedly on her way. And then all of a sudden, it takes a left turn. Right at the last
minute.
That's
true.
And everybody gets confused. It's like throwing everything up in the air. And nobody can make sense of it. And by the time it's over, it's over.
She's late to court. She was supposed to check into that New York rehab the next morning, and she got on a flight the night before for Los Angeles.
And then she's on a different plane, and then it's chaos.
Wow.
She creates chaos. It's diabolical.
Now, Betty Ford is famous for really being locked down. No information.
Right.
I'm saying in terms of information coming out of Betty Ford.
You have a short memory.
Do I? Tell me. Okay.
Do you remember in 2010 when Lindsay Lohan snuck out and then scaled the wall back?
That's
yes.
Right.
Oh, and she assaulted that.
And she assaulted that woman because the woman was going to tell on her, and then it ended up there where the police came.
But I thought all that information came from a woman once she was outside of Betty Ford. The original point of my question was going to be, she's in Betty Ford right now, so we're not really hearing any information about what's going on behind closed doors at this point, right?
Yet.
A little we are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, but how's it going? Is she behaving herself?
Well, right now she's kind of laying. I have a great story that we just can't tell yet, but she's.
Tell it.
All I'm saying is that she's a schemer.
She's
oh,
a schemer.
Really?
She's a what? Schemer.
Come
she's
on, Harvey, give us a hint.
So she's pulling strings inside.
Well, it's
already.
Look, here's the thing.
She's getting to keep her phone.
The shocking part about this is that Sean Hawley is back. The lawyer she fired, she's the one that bailed her out. I mean, Lindsay was going to have an arrest warrant issued on Friday morning. Thursday night, Lindsay begs Sean Hawley to come back, begs her. Her team begs her to come back. So Sean says yes, but we are told Sean said yes only on the provision that she would get paid the $150,000 that Lindsay stiffed her on for prior legal fees.
Oh, I can see that.
And that it's to the point where money that Lindsay is supposedly going to be making in the next 6 months is going to be earmarked to Sean to pay off the bill, and that's the only reason she came back, and that she had to get paid.
Okay,
but for her. She's back, and she negotiated with prosecutors, and she got her into Betty Ford, which is where she escaped several times.
Right.
So what the funny thing about your question was, you know, lockdown rehab, which was supposedly the drill here. It was supposed to be lockdown where you had guards there, and here you got this chick scaling walls going out to clubs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's that.
Do you think that I meant lockdown in terms of information coming outside of a patient inside?
Oh, I get it.
That's what I meant. What do you think that she will tough it out and stay all 3 months?
There's no way, right?
Do you think Lindsay Lohan will behave? I think your question is, will she behave herself for 90 days?
Well, I guess not.
There's
I guess
no
that's
way.
Too much to ask.
But what other step can she take that will cause chaos, like you're talking about, Harvey? Because to me, it seems like the next step, if she leaves there, has to be jail.
We keep saying that.
I know, but it has to
be. I am so sick of being embarrassed and saying that. I've said that for 2 years, and every time I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And there have been like 5 judges already. So I'm not going out on that limb.
Wow.
I've got a lot of bruises.
Well, we're going to be watching your next story that you're teasing now at TMZ.com. And don't forget, Monday through Friday nights at 6 on Fox 11, TMZ airs as well. Harvey, thanks for the time, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
It's good talking to you.
Less than 1 hour away from your first chance to win your free tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. How about that? With Vampire Weekend, 30 Seconds to Mars, Black Keys, and more. We've got those for you in about 45 minutes or so from right now. We also have Colin Hanks on talking about the Miracle Los Angeles Kings. You still feeling good, Kevin?
Absolutely. Game 4 tonight.
Why not, right? I mean, they're hardly
America.
Out of it. And we're, believe it or not, we're going to hook you up with a chance to see the Kings at Staples Center tonight for the playoffs, too. First, though, Bob Dylan, back in the news. Haven't heard much from old Bob lately, but this is a little piece of rock and roll history. This is a song that he wrote, Kevin, that was never recorded, but the lyrics survived, and they are going to be auctioned off by Christie's. They're expected to go for over $50,000.
Now, Bob Dylan, I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan. He can't sing worth a damn to me. But apparently he writes good songs, and I can, you know, give him his place in history and respect him and still not listen. But in 1963, he wrote a song, and the song that they're auctioning off is called Go Away, You Bomb. So it's, you know, of course, it's an anti-war song.
Right? Are there other meanings to that song?
Go Away, You Bomb. Apparently he never recorded it, unfortunately, but they are auctioning off the lyrics. But it really does sound like a kindergartner.
I don't know.
Was he at the top of his powers in 63?
No, he was a very young songwriter then, but he was, you know, putting together his first album, which became, you know, which was a big seller and made him famous. So he was clearly writing good songs. It sounds to me, what little I know about Go Away, You Bomb, is that it was the right decision maybe to not record this one. Look, lots of artists write lots of songs that don't make the record. You
yes,
know what I mean?
But
there's a reason why they don't make the record, and maybe that's the case here.
But are you surprised because Bob Dylan's legacy is his lyrics and the songs that he writes are supposedly so, you know, intricate and whatever.
Right.
And then he does Go Away, You Bomb. It just sounds, you go away, bomb. It does sound like a 4-year-old.
Let's find out, Kevin. Why don't we ask the man himself? Bob Dylan joins us back on the phone on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Hi, Mr. Dylan. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Oh, Kevin Dylan. I'm on the program. It's having things.
I don't know what you just said, but I'm just going to agree with you and thank you again for the time. We're talking about this new song. What a surprise to see all this attention paid to a lyric from 50 years ago.
Yeah, go away, you bum.
Are you a bit embarrassed by that?
No.
You should be.
Great song. I'm so proud of it.
Why didn't you record it then, Bob?
Well, a lot of material, you know. You get too bad and you ran it past in the case and, you know, you put it on the record. You go all around and pick it all the same when you run in it.
Okay. Well, when you put it that way, I have no idea what you're talking about. So you never recorded this song.
Yeah.
We only have the handwritten lyrics, I guess. But mm-hmm. what would it sound like, Bob? Have you ever even sung it?
Yeah, I sing it all the time.
Oh, you do?
It goes a little like this.
Oh.
I hate you because you're man-made and man-owned and man-handled. You might be a mismade and misowned and mishandled and misused. And I hate you because you could drop on me by accident and kill me.
So much of a...
Go away, you bum! You... Bum. Yeah, it goes that's a good one like that.
But Bob, doesn't it seem like maybe the people that have the bomb are the people you should be writing about? You shouldn't really.
No, because you take the bomb away, there's nothing they can do, can they?
Well, I guess
That is pretty deep.
That's true.
Guns don't kill people. Bullets kill people.
That's true, yeah.
Now, unless you get hit over the head with a gun. I mean, a gun could kill you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
Now, Bob, did you write, I don't know enough as about this early period of your songwriting history, but did you write a ton of songs that didn't get recorded?
Oh, yeah. The 63 is a lot of songs in the same mode, and then I just never recorded them.
Oh, so because they were crappy like this
one? Go away, you gardener.
What?
Go away, you gardener.
Can we hear a little?
It's early in the morning, and that leaf blower is waking me up. Get those dandelions out of my grass. Hey, make sure to edge by the sidewalk. You go away, you gardener. So, yeah, that was one of those.
That's not a song.
It is, yeah.
Well, okay.
So you were just in a mode of just getting people the hell away from you back then, it sounds like.
Go away, barista.
Really? They had those then?
I asked you for almond milk, and you put soy in my latte. How the hell did you get this job? Go away, you barista.
Well, you could be sitting on just a gold mine if they're going to sell this one for $50,000.
Go away,
like
you
this...
black guy.
We don't need to. I don't think we need to hear that one.
Nope.
Why are you talking to the movie screen? They can't hear you.
Nope.
It's just a movie.
Probably best
you can't stop that guy from going into that room. It's a movie. Hey, is it just me or is popcorn really expensive? Go away, black guy.
Well, I think it's good.
There
you
go, away, proctologist.
I'd like to hear that one.
You come at me with a latex glove, all goopy with your lube, and it makes my sphincter tighten.
Okay.
You're not getting in there. Go away, you proctologist.
That might be your best.
I hate you more than the bomb.
Got your tickets for Weenie Rose 2013 that you can win in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. And by the way, right after the top of the hour, Kevin, we're doing What's Up with Florida?
Yep.
I don't want to oversell this, but maybe my favorite 911 call ever is going to be part of What's Up with Florida. Wow. I do enjoy the funny 911 calls, and this one is the funniest. So please, please, please stick around. That's on the way here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
Funnier than too much information? Funnier than that guy? That's my favorite 911 call.
That's
ever.
A tough. It's hard to beat Victor Fuentes. It's funny in a different way. I'll let you guys decide.
All right. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Let's save everybody some time. Let's just look at the top one movie at the box office this weekend. Okay? That's the only movie anybody went to see. It's Iron Man 3 in its debut. $175.3 million.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah, it is. It's the second largest opening for a film in movie history.
Wow.
The only movie ever to make more in its opening weekend was last year's Avengers with $207 million in its opening weekend. So, as you can imagine, Marvel and Paramount and everyone involved, pretty happy about that opening.
Did it sound like he was kind of done with doing the Iron Man series, though?
That's the impression everyone gets from Robert Downey Jr., that he's done his trilogy. He enjoys the character. It sounds like he will continue to work in Avengers films in the future as Tony Stark slash Iron Man. But in terms of doing another Iron Man movie, right now at least, it doesn't look good. However, sometimes that can be fatigue, you know?
Yeah.
You've done
right.
three in a row, you're exhausted, you're promoting this one, you're tired of it. Maybe after a year goes by or two and they back the truck up into his driveway full of
jillion-dollar bills, then he'll reconsider. But he's, I think he made like $50 million off of this one.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the money.
He doesn't need the money. There's no real motivation for him to do it other than he wants to do it again.
He sure does carry it, though.
He crushes in
this
film.
Yeah, he really does.
For those of you who haven't seen, it's no spoiler, but the majority of the film is Tony Stark. There's less Iron Man in the Iron Man suit action in this film probably than in any of the other previous two. So it's a ton of Robert Downey Jr. just being charming and funny and scary and intense, and just he runs the gamut in this film. It's a great performance.
Well, there are a handful of actors who are so good that they make a good movie great, and he's one of them.
Yeah. Other good news over the weekend, we almost got it done, people. We almost were able to get SEAL Team 6 in there and pull it off, but sadly, mission aborted.
For what?
On stage last night in Dubai, Justin Bieber was performing at a piano when a man ran on stage and tried to grab him.
Say what?
Great video. If you want to check it out. security comes out of nowhere, tackles the guy. The best part is knocks over the grand piano that's on stage. Justin emerged from the scuffle unscathed.
Well, that doesn't seem possible to knock over a grand piano, does it?
Well, it's on a riser. And it's going wheels, right?
So I see.
They grab the guy, they nudge the piano, it rolls to the side, and then the first leg of the piano goes off the riser, and then the whole thing just goes
over the edge. So close to a cartoon death for him.
Yeah. If the piano would have landed on him, that would be even better. But my favorite part of the story is, as you watch the video, you recognize not a word is missed, not a beat is skipped during the scuffle. He's completely lip-syncing at
that point
on the stage. Yeah.
Ralph, I have a question. I haven't seen the video yet, but from what I understand, it's just a guy running up on stage and security tackles him, right?
Yes.
Haven't there been thousands of performers who have been on stage when somebody has jumped on stage, and it's never been a crisis or dangerous? The media are playing this up as if he escaped assassination.
Yeah, it's like they saw the red laser dot on his forehead coming from the balcony.
It's just somebody hopping up on the stage, and they got him off.
The guy was trying to give him a hug.
He ran up and hugged him.
He wanted to. You should see security overreact to this guy.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
If the Secret Service was protecting the president. They fly out of nowhere, and this guy just gets crushed. Just mangled to the floor like he is wielding some sort of weapon. Apparently, it's just a guy who wants to hug him.
How could Bieber not get injured in this scuffle?
So
come on.
I just love the fact that he's sitting at a piano singing a song, and that's got to be lip-synced. It's different when they're doing all the dance moves and everything, and they're wearing the headsets.
Yep.
You can understand sometimes why they do the backing tracks. But he's sitting there at a piano. So it didn't make any sense to me, but it was very entertaining. More music news. You guys are familiar with Danny Brown, rapper Danny Brown?
I am not.
Massive controversy about Danny Brown. Danny Brown generated last week when he was on stage performing, rapping, worked his way to the front of the stage the way many rappers do. And that's when a young lady in the front row decided to take it upon herself to pull down Danny's pants.
What?
And then show her gratitude for his music in a way that would provide him, I think, some pleasure as well as her being there at about head level to his crotchal region. Right there in front of the crowd and God and everyone performed an act on him that was controversial, to say the least.
Wow.
Maybe the first time we've ever seen a performer receive that gift on stage.
It sounds like she was stealth, like she was a ninja. How do you make that happen so quickly?
Well, the pants are baggy to begin with.
Okay, right. All right.
And then she just yanked those down and then just proceeded to enjoy herself some Danny Brown. And the videos and the pictures are now surfacing on the website, and a lot of people are talking about it, including his tour mate, a female rapper named Kitty Pryde, who is claiming that Danny, wait for it, was a victim.
A victim?
Yes. How dare this woman pull down his pants in front of 700 other people and perform a sex act on him without his consent?
I read her piece last week on this, Ralph, and it sounds like the legitimate question she's raising is, why isn't there a sexual assault charge, as there would be had the sexes been reversed?
Because he liked it, and he wanted that to happen. Are you insane?
But can women just go around just willy-nilly? And
I hope.
Yes, of course they can.
Okay. All right. Well, that settles that then.
Danny didn't go screaming off his, oh, no, please don't put your mouth there, ma'am. He's there just riding, just arching, singing in the microphone, having himself time.
Danny didn't miss a note either.
That was the girl, actually.
Oh, that's the girl's
part. What kind of question is that, Bean? What's wrong with you?
Just saying. This is a double standard that we're all happy to live by? Is that what the point?
Absolutely.
Has you, apparently.
Has your penis been dormant for so long, you at long last have forgotten its usage, sir?
Has it fallen off?
Is it still atrophied? Is it like the umbilical cord becomes just shriveled and useless after a point and then just drops off? Long last, sir, have you no shame.
I didn't say I agreed. I said that's the question that's being raised right now.
But that question has been asked and answered
All right.
A long time ago. It's just different.
Look, it's the best thing that ever happened to Danny Brown, who I had never heard of before until this story broke, so it's working for him.
Yeah.
I'm just gay.
All right.
Well, that explains a lot then. And by the way, to the young lady in the front row. Standing If you watch her performance in the video, that girl is beyond enthusiastic.
Where's the video again, Ralph?
And she must be an opera singer of some kind. the glottal control she demonstrates is phenomenal.
Don't you think that...
I don't know the site. I'll find it for you and bring it back. It's where the hell is it?
It sounds to me like there's no possible way
she... I found this on BuzzFeed. I think I found a story on BuzzFeed. So if you go there, they'll have the link to the video.
It sounds to me like there's no possible way that a woman could do that quickly enough if the guy wasn't into it, that... He wouldn't get away.
He enjoys it for several moments and then backs away and pulls his pants up and continues with the song. There's never a moment of panic or unpleasantness in his face or eyes at all.
Which means it can't be a surprise. To me, that means it's a setup.
A setup?
Yes.
He didn't know this woman at all.
Well, maybe.
This was just a random woman in the crowd.
What an odd conspiracy theory.
I don't know. I'm just
Kevin.
Saying. We know?
I'm going to walk out there, then you pull my pants off, and then you start to
pleasure
me.
Did we know this guy before this happened?
No.
Well played.
But he's playing.
That's my point.
He does have a fan base. I mean, he's
got mixtapes and stuff.
Yeah, he's obviously popular with a certain segment of the population.
It's possible that he could have planned it. No? Am I crazy?
Well, it wasn't as if he released the story or it was covered. It only came out because fans started to talk about it.
All right. Listen, I'm fine with it. I wanted it to start happening.
And the act is sort of obscured. If you weren't in the front row next to it, where the video was shot, obviously by another concert goer, you would never know what was happening because everyone's standing in this venue. So if you were two rows back, it would just look like a sea of heads in front of you, no pun intended.
I do love conspiracy theorist Kevin, though. That's my new favorite character.
Odd conclusion to jump to. I wanted to have you who did it, yeah.
Could have been a publicity stunt.
It's a horse, Kevin, not a zebra, sometimes, all right?
How dare you. Kevin has the same thought about someone performing oral sex at a concert the way he does about a celebrity saving a life. Immediately, it's a publicity stunt. It just, I hate everybody. Where's the party bus? Today's celebrity birthdays, Adrian Palicki.
Come on with the come on, right?
Yeah, she's pretty spectacular. 30 years old today. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 42. George Clooney, the Cloon Dog, the Silver Fox. Damn, I love him.
He's got to be the only guy in his 50s that any teenage girl would have sex with.
Yeah, it's probably true. Well, maybe Tom Bergeron.
Yeah.
Who also celebrates his birthday today. He's 58 years old. And singer Bob Seger is 68. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
If you'd like tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, we are going to give away a pair here in about 10 minutes. So if you want to call...
Oh, call now. Okay, good.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number for the radio station here, and we will play a little game called The Hardest Game in the World.
Ooh. So they give us a call, and then we call them back? Is that how it works,
nope.
Kevin, as I understand?
Oh, we'll put them on hold.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. The show is coming up on Saturday, May 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater with the Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, Atlas Genius, and that's just the main stage. It's a crazy, crazy lineup. We'll have tickets for you all this week on K-Rock, and your first chance to win is right now if you want to give us a call. First, though, I got a question for you guys.
Sorry, go ahead. Start again.
I got a question for you guys. What is up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
I feel like I need... ready to have jazz hands during that.
Do you you have a date or something, Kevin? No. Somewhere you're in a hurry to get to after the show?
No, I thought you were saying we have a question for you, and then I thought the song was going to answer it.
But yeah, didn't work out that way. We started this feature, What's Up with Florida, because we do a lot of news stories of crazy things that happen in these United States of ours, and the vast majority, I don't just mean a disproportionate number, I mean the majority of the stories for the whole country that are crazy come out of the state of Florida. And we've never been able to figure out why. So here's our weekly roundup of what's going on. We start in St. Augustine, Florida today. Sheriff deputies say a burglary suspect admitted to having a really good time while in a couple's home. Jason Vickery, 23, broke into a house. He's been arrested on burglary and larceny charges on the Atlantic View Street in St. Augustine. He got into the home through an unlocked door, Kevin. He told investigators his plan was to go upstairs and masturbate in the bathroom.
That's it?
Now, why? I don't want to get too deep into Mr. Vickery's mind, but if you're breaking into somebody's house and it's empty, why do you masturbate in the bathroom? It seems like that's the place you would go if you needed, you know, some privacy or something like that, but he's got the whole house. Well, he got distracted along the way when he saw a really cool remote control helicopter. So he went through the kitchen drawers to find some batteries for the helicopter, put it in, and started playing with the helicopter. Then he went into the fridge and got a salad and started eating a salad while he was playing the helicopter. So his plan was to just go in there and masturbate. He got so distracted, he started having lunch and playing helicopter.
What's happening? That is a lack of focus right there.
He finally set the toy down and told deputies he went up to the bathroom to masturbate, and it was too late at that point. He heard voices outside, which means that the people were home, saw that somebody was in their house, called 911, and when he emerged, the deputy was there with his gun drawn waiting for him. He was arrested, police confiscated a full bag of marijuana, other drug paraphernalia, a wig, a towel, and a pouch of chewing tobacco.
What is happening?
That is a party, is what that is. Here's another bizarre story out of Florida. A Port St. Lucie man was walking awkwardly and told deputies he may have some needles between his cheeks, according to a recent arrest official.
Oh, no.
His name is Cayman Hollabaugh, 24 years old. He was sitting in the parking lot of a post office at 3 o'clock in the morning when a police officer drove by, and he flashed his lights at the police officer, flashed his high beams on his car at the police officer, which, explain to me why you wave the cops down, basically, to come over and talk to you, right? Well,
I think you must be desperate.
Or high, which is what it looks like is this case.
Yeah.
Police officers saw that the guy had flashed his brights at him. They went over. They talked to the man. He was sweating. He looked nervous. His pants were unzipped. He let the investigator search his vehicle. As he got out of the car, several pills fell to the ground.
Oh.
Morphine pills, it turned out. That's when the man offered to the police that he may have some needles between his cheeks. Upon searching that area, I located a bag of unused needles. Now, why is a guy sitting in his car in a post office parking lot at 3 o'clock in the morning with a bag of needles in his butt?
I don't know.
Wow, there's no answer to that.
And then he flashes down the police.
Yes.
So he can go to jail, which is why you would put the needles in your butt.
Exactly. This guy makes no sense at all. He also told the police he believed there might be more pills in his anus. He said he wished to extricate those to avoid additional charges at the jail. In other words, he wanted to give up everything he had at the point rather than, you know, have them tack it on.
No, he wanted
later
to be searched is what happened.
Well, that's possible.
Who wants some?
After moving around for a little bit, a small clear plastic bag was found near his feet, according to the affidavit. Additional pills were found in the vehicle. Another needle and a Q-tip were in one of the man's pants pocket. He has been arrested on charges including possession of a controlled substance without a prescription and drug equipment for use or sale.
He is not a good drug dealer.
And also for being a dumbass, too.
Yeah.
All right, the final story, and this is going to end with my favorite 911 call, maybe since Victor Fuentes. I love this man so much. He's a 20-year-old man. He's at a 7-Eleven store in Palm Coast. He himself calls 911. Nobody called 911 on him. He's at a 7-Eleven. At this point, I don't know that he's doing anything wrong. Here's a portion of the 911 call that this young man made.
911, where's the emergency?
I don't know.
What's the problem?
I don't know.
Okay, you called 911. Are you having a problem? Is this the business?
I don't know.
Is there somebody in the store there?
I don't know.
Are you inside the store?
I don't know.
Can you answer anything, sir?
I don't know.
Are you starting to see a theme? to his bizarre 911 call?
He doesn't know. Why does the guy keep asking him questions?
What's with the third degree, bro?
Right.
You guys want some more? You want a little bit more?
Absolutely.
Okay, you're calling from the business there.
I don't know.
What is your name?
I don't know.
You have no idea where your name is?
I do not know.
Is there anybody else in the store with you?
I don't know.
Okay, is this an emergency? Can you say yes or no?
I don't know.
What is your name?
I don't know.
I love him so much.
How long does that guy keep on the phone? Don't you hang up at that point?
Well, you know how 911 is, man. They really try hard to get information. This is about a 4-minute call from the time he first calls to the time that the police arrive. I've edited it down to about a minute and a half.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what happens when the police arrive after we hear a little bit more from our friend.
Okay, why do you keep saying I don't know?
Because I don't know.
You don't know what your name is?
I do not know.
Okay, you work there at the store?
I do not know.
You don't know if you work at the store either?
No, I do not know.
Well, the police do finally arrive, by the way, and eventually he breaks. And eventually when they say, what's your name, he says, I'm a monkey. The police officer on the scene at the 7-Eleven said, monkeys don't wear clothes, to which the man said, oh, really, and started stripping, at which point he was arrested for exposing himself to a female store clerk and customers as he stood there naked.
That's my favorite guy.
Police did not say if they suspect Holloman was on drugs at the time of the incident. What do you guys think?
There's no other explanation.
He was arrested and taken to jail, later released after posting $500 bail. What do you guys think about that story?
Because I don't know. That is fantastic.
What's up with Florida? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening less than 2 weeks from right now, Saturday, May 18th, at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We've got tickets for you all this week on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, including right now. Hit it, Steve.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
How you doing, Mr. Announcer Man? How was your weekend?
It was terrific. I saw Iron Man 3.
Oh, did you like it?
From what I remember, I was really high.
That's our Mr. Announcer Man. Hey, listen, this is the very first pair of tickets that we're giving away for K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, so we thought we would make it tough. Explain the game to folks that are on hold, please.
What we'll be doing for you is announcing names of bands playing this year's K-Rock Weenie Roast. All you need to do is identify the name of that band. Oh, I almost forgot. They'll all be backwards.
So you go into a drawing if you name them, and then the winner gets tickets and backstage passes.
Mm. Oh, sweet.
How about that?
All right, so the key here, because we've had problems with some of our recent contestants who are just draw a blank, the key here is that if you've got nothing, if you don't know, if you don't think you know what it is, just take a stab at it. Name one of the bands on the bill at the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, because one of them is going to be the correct answer, okay? Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Patrick. He works at the Long Beach Harbor. Yeah, those longshoremen get lonely.
Hey, Patrick.
Hello, Kevin Bean, Lisa.
Hi, Patrick.
Gonna give you your the name of the band backwards twice, and then you got to tell me who it is. You ready?
Yes.
Spagetnasser Bliss.
One more time.
Spagetnasser Bliss.
Silver Sun Pickups.
Yeah! Silver Sun Pickups.
Right. Nicely done.
Well done, Patrick.
Now, you don't have the tickets yet, but you are one step closer. You are in the drawing, Mr. Announcer Man. Who's next?
Next up is Leticia. She's a nurse.
Don't ever make that noise again. Hey, Leticia. Leticia.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. All right, you ready for your band?
Yes.
Gonna give it to you twice.
Okay.
One more time.
Is it 30 Seconds to Mars?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's
Jimmy Eat World.
Sorry.
Nice try, though. Thank you so much for playing, Mr. Announcer Man. Who's next?
Next up is Chad. He's a roofer. That means he gives girls roofies.
I don't think that's what that means.
That's not right at all, Mr. Announcer
Man. All the kids are saying
Hey, Chad.
Morning, guys.
Here's your band backwards. Here's your band backwards. Good luck.
Make you hurry off, man.
One more time.
Make you hurry off, man.
Of Monsters and Men?
Vampire Weekend.
So close. Yeah. Thank you for playing. So far, Patrick is in the drawing. No one else, but maybe the next contestant, Mr. Announcer Man.
Maybe it'll be Nosar. She's a student at Cal State LA.
Hey, Nosar.
Hi.
Are we saying your name correctly?
Kind of, yeah.
Close enough. All right.
Some luck can make them.
Here's your weenie roast band backwards.
Smurf nasty than that. Stiff.
What? One more time.
Smurf nasty than that. Stiff.
The black keys? I don't know.
Fitz and the tantrums.
Did you really think that could possibly be a two-syllable word? Words, the black keys backwards? Really?
Well, I don't know. I tried.
You did try. You did. I got to give you credit. You did try. All right, thank you. At least you came up with something. All right, so far, still just Patrick. We only have time for a couple more contestants, Mr. Announcer Man.
Next up is Joe. He's a power technician. That's what they called me in the porn business.
You were in the porn business?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
What up, guys? What up, Lisa May?
What up, Joe?
Here's your weenie roast band. Good luck.
See Calibur.
One more time.
See Calibur.
Black Keys?
Yeah! The Black Keys.
Nicely done.
Joe! Well done.
Nicely done.
All right, Mr. Announcer Man, one more. Let's make it count.
Next up is Jose. He's in shipping and receiving, which is also what they said about me in porn.
Hey, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Good morning, Jose.
There you go. Love connection here.
There's your band.
Nam Natsur Tsnamva.
One more time.
Nam Natsur Tsnamva.
Not very easy.
30 seconds to Mars.
Of Monsters and Men.
Oh, nice try, though. Thanks so much for playing. So, Joe and Patrick are both in the drawing. Lisa May, only one can win tickets and backstage passes, the very first pair for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Voice 2013.
Patrick is the winner.
Patrick is the winner, the very first person we talked to.
Yeah!
Patrick, congratulations.
Thank you.
See you at the Weenie Roast at backstage, and thanks for playing the game. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Goodbye, Kevin and B.
Our Los Angeles Kings correspondent Colin Hanks joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to give away a couple of passes for you to see the Kings playing tonight against the Blues at Staples Center. So stick around for that. First, though, Justin Bieber in the news. Ralph has been reporting all day long. This kid needs to just go back to Canada, right, Kevin? He's just having nothing but bad luck on the road.
If by go back to Canada, you mean take his own life? Yes.
Well, I wasn't suggesting suicide, but it does seem like
Bieber Lake.
It does seem like he's had nothing but trouble. I'm not saying it's not all his fault, this trouble, by the way. He can't stay out of his own way on this tour. I mean, we've just been hearing headline after headline of things going wrong on the road. And we wanted to kind of run some of the latest that just happened over the weekend by Justin Bieber himself, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Justin, welcome back, man. What's going on?
Wow, the questions, bro.
What's going on? It's a way of saying hi, basically.
What's that all about, eh? Why don't you back off my swag, bro?
Okay. Justin, why can't you just behave? Why are you getting in trouble at every stop along the tour? What's happening?
What did I do?
Well, you were two hours late in Dubai.
Well, I had to... do some things, bro.
What things did you have to do? There was a whole place, a whole, venue filled with little kids that have to go to bed, and you're 2 hours late.
I was busy.
Doing what?
I saved this guy's life.
You saved a guy's life?
Guy? Yeah.
What
Bill?
Guy?
A guy named Bill.
Bill.
Well, why didn't we hear that reported? Where's the news story about that?
I don't like to talk about myself, bro. I like to be on the down low. I like to keep it, undercover.
You do?
Yeah
that's
like,
what you're famous about.
I don't like
about.
Attention, eh? Mm.
Is so, that why you wear onesies most of the time now? So, and gas masks?
Yeah. That's what I saved Bill from. It was a gas leak.
Sounds like you're making that up as you go.
And then I had to pray to Mecca.
Well, what are you talking about? You're not Muslim.
I went in Muzla, do what the Muslims do, you know?
Okay, there's no country named Muzla. You know that, right?
I had to make my prayers.
Okay.
Mecca, lecca, hi, mecca, hiney, ho. I had to say that.
Wow.
That's from a Pee Wee Herman movie. That has nothing to do with religion. You know that, right?
And what's all the questions, bro?
Well, we're just 2 hours late is pretty... Inconsiderate.
It's inconsiderate. Very rude to your fans. I mean, it's a big F you to the fans when they come to your show and they expect you at a certain time because that's on the ticket and then you just don't show.
But when I show up, bro, they get the show of a lifetime, eh? It's like they're like, oh, that show was good.
That's what they say?
Yeah. Some guys get so crazy, they want to hug me.
They booed you for a while, and then that dude did run on stage. That 19-year-old ran on stage and tried to give you a hug.
Yeah, because he loved me, eh?
Right. And then you're secure.
Or wanted to kill me. I don't know.
Oh, don't say things like that. Hello?
What just happened, Justin?
Some dude just tackled me.
Like right now while you're on the phone with us?
What's country all about, eh?
I don't know. Why would someone do that?
Jive turkey.
Can't say. I don't know why you think you could say that word, but you can't.
Well, this is crazy, man. I don't.
Uh-oh.
What just happened?
What the hell? Another guy just came out of nowhere. Tackled me. What's that all about, eh?
I can't imagine why everybody's trying to knock me.
What?
I wish one of them would finish the job.
This is crazy, eh? This is, I can't.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Hey, what the hell's going on?
Is this crazy? Like,
are they monkey people or something? Like big, big monkey fans? Hey, wait a minute, hold on. I can't.
Justin, you gotta move to a more secure location, baby.
Oh, no.
Come on.
You're gonna escape this time.
Come on, Justin.
Come on, why?
What happened?
Justin.
It's just a form of self-defense. I throw up on people now.
If you got Jason Collins, we're going to want to hear from you coming up the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You were involved in a relationship and found out well into the relationship that your partner was gay. That's got to be a surprise to a lot of people if that happens, right?
Yeah.
Don't expect to see that one coming. So we're going to take your calls and talk a little bit about it coming up right after the top of the hour here on the World Famous Carrick. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Happened to Selena Gomez over the weekend. I don't know if you saw E! Online's tweet. Justin Bieber came out to E! Online saying, "I'm a gay," he said in a tweet.
We were just talking to Justin, Ralph. I wish we'd have known about that.
Should have brought that up.
Huh. Yeah.
Saturday, E! Online's Twitter feed. Exclusive, Justin Bieber to E! Online, "I'm a gay."
What does that mean?
What do you think he was trying to type?
Yeah.
Here's what happened. Nope. Someone broke into E! Online's Twitter account. They hacked their account and started putting up all kinds of ludicrous messages.
Ludicrous did it?
No! The Justin Bieber I'm gay one led to about 1,200 retweets and 351 favorites. So E! Online was quick to rectify the situation and correct it. But there was a moment of panic there.
No doubt.
No doubt that wasn't even mentioned in the. Another tweet from the same hackers who claim to be the Syrian Electronic Army.
This is what they do?
Yeah. Claimed that Bieber was going to be arrested after his performance in Dubai. They didn't mention at the time. It said details forthcoming. I got that one a lot. I got that one a lot this weekend.
People, oh, you did?
People retweeting that to me. Said, here, Bieber's getting arrested in Dubai. I think everyone was envisioning like caning or something, or him being buried in a sand dune up to his neck with red hot fire ants poured on him or something. I don't know what they're expecting. None of that was real. Bieber's all fine, except for those dudes who keep tackling him. Apparently, I heard your interview.
Keep running into him.
Don't sound good over there.
What's going on?
Although, let's not discount Ralph's idea of the sand and the fire ants. That's not a bad way to go either. No. I think that's something we should consider.
I agree. More music news. This is great news, actually. A benefit concert for the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings is in the works. Many of Boston's biggest musical names will be performing an event called Boston Strong, an evening of support and celebration happening May the 30th at Boston's TD Garden. On the lineup so far, Aerosmith, of course, big Boston band. They're going to be there. New Kids on the Block. They got some Boston roots as well. Mm-hmm. The band Boston, interestingly enough, will be there.
All right.
Are they still together? Is that still
alive? Well, their lead singer committed suicide a few years ago, so I'm a little bit surprised by that news. But.
Jeez. The Jay Giles Band, Jimmy Buffett, Carole King, James Taylor, Jason Aldean. The lineup is still growing as we speak, but sounds like it could be a cool thing for them to do. More music news. Rolling Stones, believe it or not, kicked off their 50 and counting tour Friday night at Staples Center here in Los Angeles. Three encores, 20-song set, people report. The biggest surprise of the evening is when Gwen Stefani took the stage.
What a shocker.
Joined the band for their classic Wild Horses. That wasn't the only surprise. Keith Urban came out to do Respectable with the band as well. So a lot of guest stars at the L.A.
They just need they just need a breather? They just need a blow? Take a second?
Yeah, they got plenty of blow. Trust me.
I heard great things about that show, by the way. Apparently it was just terrific.
I don't think you ever don't get the Rolling Stones when you show up to a Rolling Stone show. I think you know exactly what you're in for, and that's what you get.
Imagine being a band that has so many, of course you can't play them all, but they played a hit song on Friday night that they had never performed live. Imagine having so many hits that you can have one that you could ignore for decades. They did Emotional Rescue for the first time ever, Ralph, on Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. That's that's why they didn't do that song, because that's one of the lyrics. Just Mick doing an owl impression for 20 minutes. It's funny you bring it up. I wasn't even going to talk about this because I know how Kevin gets that glassy-eyed, faraway look when I start talking Beatles and Paul McCartney. Yep. But I was thinking the same thing. Paul McCartney started his most recent tour Saturday night in Brazil, and he played a ton of songs that he had never played live. Can you imagine having that many
hits?
That's
cool. Yeah.
You can play a ton of stuff that no one's ever heard live. Yeah. Huh. 8 days a week by the Beatles. Never played live.
Wow. That's weird.
The Wings hit Listen to What the Man Said. Never played live.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So... it's cool. It's Monday morning. Means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The only one really worth mentioning is Iron Man 3. It crushed the competition in its debut weekend, made $175.3 million.
That's crazy.
The second biggest moneymaker for the weekend was Pain and Gain with $7.6 million.
Now that's less?
It made roughly $170 million less than the movie just previous to it. So congratulations to that gang. It's the second highest movie opening of all time.
Wow.
Just behind last year's Avengers movie, which was the biggest opening weekend of all time. Avengers made $207 million in their opening weekend.
I know it would be a lot of work, but they need to go around to all the people who came out saying what a terrible casting decision it was for Robert Downey Jr. to be Iron Man. Remember
that's
all those
the beginning they were saying
when the
that,
movie
yeah.
was first announced, it was going to be Robert Downey Jr. There were so many people going, oh, that's a terrible choice. He'll suck.
Yeah. Let's do the numbers. Let's do the totals so far. The movie opened last week overseas and has brought in across the ocean there over $500 million. So it's a haul so far since its release, $680 million.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
That's how you get it done. See?
Yeah.
Learn, kids.
Learn, kids.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Gabri Sidibe from Precious. She's 30 years old today. Adrian Palicki celebrates her 30th birthday. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 42. George Clooney celebrates his 52nd birthday today. Tom Bergeron, host of Dancing with the Stars, is 58. And rock and roll legend Bob Seger celebrates his 68th birthday today. Hollywood Nights. What a great song Hollywood Nights is.
Okay. Good enough.
Just saying, it's a great song. However, that old-time rock and roll song. Oh, don't get me started.
You just heard it too much.
Just don't get me started. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks again to everybody who bought tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. They went on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds to Heal the Bay and Surf Rider Foundation again this year. The show is sold out for Saturday, May 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. But we do have tickets and backstage passes you can win all day long. In fact, all week long here on K-Rock. And we have them for you again today every half hour starting at 9 a.m. So within an hour, the winning begins right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, let's talk Jason Williams. Can we?
Or Jason Collins.
Or Jason Collins.
Whichever one you prefer, we can talk about.
Let's talk about Collins.
Jason Collins, a week ago, was all anybody was talking about because he was the NBA player, still a current NBA player, but we don't know where he's going to end up, if anywhere, next year, who was the first of the male athletes in a major American sport to come out as gay. And we talked about it a little bit last week, and I am just delighted what a non-story it turned out to be beyond the initial reports on last Monday. A little bit of conversation about it on Tuesday, and then it just evaporated, which is exactly how it should be, because who cares whether he's gay or not? Can he play basketball? That's all I care about.
Right.
Well, the one angle of the story that I'm still fascinated with is that he had a girlfriend for 8 years that he was, like boyfriends and girlfriends do, they were sexually active and they, you know, lived together and were engaged to be married for 8 years. She had no clue he was gay.
Maybe the 8-year engagement is a clue.
Well, I don't know at what point in the 8 years. That's a great point, by the way. But I don't know at what point they got engaged. They may have dated for 5 and then got engaged. But it didn't seem like he was in a hurry to marry her. And her name is Carolyn Moose. She is 6'5", by the way. She was a Stanford basketball star, went on to play in the WNBA, and now is a personal trainer. And she has been doing some interviews, and I guess she's writing a book about her time with Jason Collins or Williams, either one. And she's been giving some interviews about what that must be like. And I'm fascinated with how you don't know. Just like when we've done the phone topic before of people who didn't know they were pregnant, there are things that from the outside, I can't understand what's going on inside.
Yeah, how do you not know? Right.
How do you not know if somebody is gay? Because I would think unless that person is willing to put up a front 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at some point, something's going to come out. That, no pun intended, that is gonna bust the whole story wide open.
Although, if he's an NBA player, there's a lot of time on the road. There's a lot of time separate.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a
she
lot of.
She thinks he's like checking out girls. No.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Well, anyway, Carolyn Moose is her name, and as I said, she's been doing some interviews, and here's a little piece of one of them where she, you know, answers some of the obvious questions.
33 years of his life. He put on a mask every day.
I am really good at playing it straight.
Carolyn Moose thought she knew the man she loved.
Did you think you would be together forever?
Absolutely.
While Jason Collins' decision to come out of the closet continues to get applause from Hollywood, the basketball pro's 34-year-old former fiancé is picking up the pieces of their broken engagement.
So we were together for 8 years. Mm-hmm. To spend 8 years with somebody, you are definitely wanting to share your life with them.
Mm-hmm. How did he break off the engagement?
He said, you know, the only reason I never married you is because I'm gay.
He called you.
Yeah. What he shared with me never crossed my mind. And you ask his parents, his twin brother, his teammates, they'll say the same thing.
He has a twin brother that didn't know?
That didn't know until last weekend. Yes.
What?
Is that just the pressure of being in sports your whole life?
I think it's both African American.
Yes,
you're right. Considered taboo to be gay a little bit more than, and also the NBA, you know, it's such a.
I mean, sports really is the last.
It really kind of is.
Last bastion.
Last thing to call, yeah.
How can there be a stigma in the African American community if everybody goes to Tyler Perry movies, though? I mean, clearly at some point they accept the fact that some blacks are gay, right?
It's a religious thing. I mean, as a population, they tend to be more religious and go to church.
So we want to take phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have been in one of these long-term relationships where either you're gay and hit it or you found out your partner was gay and hit it, I want to hear how that works and how does that not get uncovered early in the relationship?
Because I can't. You'd think there are all kinds of signs and that you would catch them along the way. I mean, the way she's talking, she's with him for 8 years. She never crossed her mind.
Never suspected. I mean, just looking at his, his internet browser, what he's watching on YouPorn, you'd think would be all the clue you'd need.
What do you think of him? What do you think of him? He says while they're watching TV.
You know, off the top of my head, I know 4 people who were either in long-term relationships or married and had kids and then left the relationship and now are
you
gay.
You do?
Yes.
4 couples?
My upstairs neighbor. Now, 2 of them are older. So you can see where when they came of age that it really was not
okay.
It was
so more taboo, right?
Yeah, much more taboo. And I think that was the problem a lot earlier. But yeah, now I'm thinking of it. I know a woman who maybe 4 years ago broke off a 5 or 6 year relationship that
because
she started
she
in college and now is gay. And
okay, so stop. Let me stop
I'm
you right there.
Of.
Let me stop you right there. Robert, you hang on. We're going to get to you in 1 second here. So this friend of yours who broke off a relationship with a man because she realized she was gay, did it occur to her late in life that she was gay, or did she know all along and just pushed it down and did what she thought society expected of her?
I think that's what it was. I think it was more that she was afraid to come out.
So she was always attracted to women but thought, that's too much of a hassle to deal with. I don't want to – maybe she thought she'd be disappointing her parents or whatever crazy thought was in her head. So she thought, I'm just going to pretend to be straight and I'll just accept it and it'll be okay.
I think so.
Females, we'd like to let you all know it's cool.
And it's totally understandable for women to hook up with gay men who aren't really coming out, because there's, like, I love my gay friends. I wish I could marry one of them, because we have so much in common. We have such a great time, except for the sex part.
Except for that part.
Yeah.
Your friend who now is living as a lesbian, did you ever talk to her longtime boyfriend or husband about how surprised he was when she came out?
Oh, my gosh, I just thought of another person.
What's happening with you?
Okay, and this person, we all knew she was gay.
And
at her wedding, we knew she was gay.
Oh,
at
her wedding, and her husband didn't.
No. I mean, every sign was there, but she swore, and people had asked her, and she swore up and down and right and left she
people
wasn't
were asking. By the way, people asking you is a pretty big sign in itself.
Yeah.
Hey, isn't your partner gay?
Yeah,
I would think that would be. We didn't ask him. That would be awkward. Oh. But we did ask her. It just, and it lasted like another year.
Wow.
That's a red flag if more than one person has ever asked you if your partner is gay,
yes.
By the way. All right, let's go to Robert. He's on line one. Everybody, please hang on and please keep calling. We'll get to as many calls as we can at 1-800-520-1067. Robin, you were with someone who turned out to be gay, or you turned out to be gay? How did it go?
How dare you?
That's not an insult. I'm just trying to get the story straight.
I was in a committed relationship. Mm-hmm. For 2 years, she never wanted to have sex with me because she said she wanted to hold out until we got married. And come to find out, she was in a lesbian relationship.
No kidding. She was in a relationship at the time.
And that's why we never had sex.
So
why did she do that, though? Did you ever find out?
No.
No
idea.
Counseling hasn't helped me, so I never found out.
Do you think it was a religious thing?
She was just a liar, I think.
Oh, okay.
Do you think it was
Robert,
you?
did you find out, like, all at one time, like, one day it was revealed that she was a lesbian and had this relationship going on, or did the pieces start to fall apart along the way and you eventually put it all together?
About a month before the pieces fell apart, yes.
Wow. Yeah. So you sound scarred, by the way, even today.
He does.
Lisa, may I see them?
Would that help you? Robert, look, I'll do therapy if you think it'll
help. That would help
him. I'll do boob therapy.
Thank you for the call, Robert. Chana, you hang on. Marie, you as well. 1-800-520-1067. You were in a relationship with somebody who turned out to be gay and you had no idea, or you were the person who pretended to be straight and they were surprised at the end. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next year on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Decided to get that out of the way.
Okay, thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
We're going to talk to our friend Colin Hanks, who's about as big a Kings fan as Kevin is, so they can commiserate and come up with a plan to win tonight. And we'll also give away some tickets to see the playoffs for Stanley Cup playoffs tonight at Staples Center in about 10 minutes. Right now, though, we're talking about 12-year NBA vet Jason Collins, who came out last week as gay. The only part of the story I'm fascinated with is how did a woman date him for 8 years and have no clue, not even like a tiny suspicion. That's the big surprise to me. So we're taking calls on that topic at 1-800-520-1067. If you have been in that situation, let's start with line three. It's Chiana, I think, is who's calling here. She's going to tell us what happened to her. Chiana, welcome to the Kevin Beecher. Thanks for calling and holding on. What happened?
Well, I was in a relationship for about a year, and unfortunately I found out that my lover was gay through Facebook. His lover actually sent him a message. And they were trying to have a meet-up. And
wait, they were putting that on Facebook while he was seeing you?
Yes, while he was seeing me. I mean, it's not like I investigate people's property, but, I mean, if you're in a relationship with someone, you guys share Facebook. I mean,
of course.
Friends.
I mean, was a private message or not?
It was kind of splashed on his Facebook. I mean, anybody could read it, but nobody really questioned it because no one knew until I questioned him.
So you guys were dating for a year, and you guys were having what you thought was a normal heterosexual relationship, right?
I had no questions about it. You couldn't even ask any of our friends, and they were all tell you the same thing, like, no way, not him.
So he turned out to be bisexual then, right?
He said he was bisexual, but in the end, he actually just wanted to try out a girl. So he figured, he said, well, if you're going to try out a girl, then try out a hot girl. So
all right. I'm down with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's good policy.
So when you see Jason Collins' ex-fiancée, Carolyn Moos, when you see her on the news saying, I had no idea, you totally believe her and that sounds reasonable to you?
You can totally believe it because I mean, people can keep secrets, and at the same time, you don't want to believe. I mean, there were signs. I mean, he used to get his eyebrows done better than mine. I think I should have known then.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, my dear. We appreciate it. Let's go to Katie. Katie is on line 5. Now, she was married for 6 years, and Katie, then what happened?
And then I got some suspicions, or rather my trust was betrayed, so I checked the website history and found bookmarked gay websites, about 15 of them.
Okay.
All right.
That's a good sign.
All right, good.
Yeah. He's not... And then we went through couples counseling, and I kept asking about them, and he's like, why are you hounding on these websites? I looked at all porn. Yes, but you bookmarked your favorite.
So, in other words, even after you found the gay porn browser history, he still denied he was gay.
Completely and utterly, and it wasn't until a year later that he admitted that he was at least bi, because he has so much love to give.
That's it. You can't hate on someone for having too much love.
That's right.
He had something to give. It wasn't love.
How was your sex life in the years that you were together?
You know, he actually blamed the lack of sex on my medical health issues, so it wasn't great, but it turned out that it was really just a front, and he made.
But at least he blamed you for it, so that's good.
Yeah,
you had that going for you. All right,
Thank you very much for the call, Kay. We appreciate that. Let's squeeze in one more. Let's go to Matt. I wanted to talk to somebody who was the gay person who was living the lie with their partner. Is that you, Matt? Were you the one who was pretending to be straight and you were really gay?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
What happened, dude?
I was your stereotypical jock in high school, football, track, all year round sports. I dated a girl. She was my best friend. And then nothing ever worked when we wanted to go further. And then I had a buddy spend the night and everything worked.
And so, like, in other words, huh, how about that?
That's kind of an eye opener.
After that.
So you were dating a girl and you guys wanted to be sexually active, but just weren't able to get aroused.
Yeah, I'm your stereotypical born and raised Catholic, so society says date a girl, and we went full-fledged. We'd make out, but nothing could ever progress further than that, and then my buddy from the swim team came over, and it worked. It was nothing wrong after that.
At least in this case, she couldn't have been that surprised, right?
Actually, she was very surprised, because I was the big jock on campus. Like, nobody, I still shock people to this day when I tell them.
How about that? Okay. There you go. Thanks for the call. So what's our lesson that we've learned? Have we learned a lesson?
No.
Check those internet browsers? Yeah, anything?
So,
any kind of tips?
Yeah, either erase them or check them. Those are what.
Exactly. Let's face it. One of the toughest things in the world of sports to do is to win a championship in any sport. It's a long, grueling season. You have to have a certain amount of luck fall your way, and you finally win. You make it to the pinnacle. And then it's even harder to repeat. Am I right, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's almost impossible. You very rarely see teams win back-to-back anything, no matter how great they are.
You know what you see more often, even in the NBA and everywhere, is you see somebody win a championship and then get bounced in the first round.
Yeah.
Yep. That happens a lot.
Absolutely. NFL teams all the time, they go to the Super Bowl, then don't make the playoffs the next year or get eliminated in the first game. You're right. It's absolutely very, very difficult to repeat. And that's why we're trying to put our heads together, trying to figure out how we can help the Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings repeat. So we're trying to put all of our ducks in a row here. And one of the things that had occurred to me on Friday,
put our
Kevin,
ducks
that we...
in a row. How dare
you,
sir?
Sorry. Poor choice of words there. One of the things that occurred to me on Friday that we weren't doing this year, that we did last year that was so successful, is talk to our friend Colin Heggs, who is a huge Los Angeles Kings fan. And maybe that's what's been needed for this series. Now, Colin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. First of all, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys doing?
Well, we feel bad that we sort of jinxed the Kings now because we didn't have you on like we did last year.
Well, you know, I feel like I sort of did the same thing last year before the playoffs. I bought a Kings hat, and I sort of looked at it as trying to appease the hockey god.
I see.
We won the Stanley Cup. This year, I had my eyes on a black satin throwback jacket.
Right.
Uh-huh. Didn't do it because it was a little pricey. Hit the wallet a little too hard. We lost the first two games. Bought it online. Won game three.
There you go. Wait, so you bought the jacket online before game three in the hopes that that would turn things around.
Guys, I think it had a serious outcome on the game.
Well, it's hard to argue. I mean, we don't have any facts against that.
I'm on the radio now. I got this black satin jacket. I think we're good to go. I'm knocking on wood. Touching wood.
Now, you were there, of course, as you are on all the home games on Saturday night, and I know Kevin was too. And it has to be so unbelievably tense to win a game 1-0, especially when it's a game that is so important. What was it like for you watching that night?
Well, I mean, 1-0 games are the games you want to avoid. I mean, any time I take someone to a hockey game, they think that they want a 1-0 game. And I tell them, no, that's exactly what you don't want, because it will take years off your life.
It really does,
right?
Yeah.
It is the worst kind of hockey game you can imagine, especially in a very important game such as Game 3 when you're down 2-0. It was tense, I think, is probably the best word. Tense,
yeah.
But you got to say it like that, otherwise the meaning doesn't quite land.
Wouldn't you say, Kevin, that the Blues and the Kings are perfectly matched for one another? I mean, all three games could have easily gone the other way, right?
Yeah, well, especially Game 1 when the Kings came back and tied it with like 30 seconds. Then they went into overtime and got a 4-minute penalty called on the Blues, so they had a power play, and then Jonathan Quick just made an error behind the goal and basically just gave it to him. Which was just a gut shot.
That's sort of been what this whole series has been like so far. I think that any one of those games could go the other way. And I think that the guy you really got to look at here is Jonathan Quick. I mean, Jonathan Quick kept the Kings in the game for Game 1.
He did.
If it wasn't for Quick, they would have never even made it to OT.
Agreed.
He makes that big mistake, they lose. Second game, same thing. Quick keeps them in it all the way until the very end. He makes a little mistake. Kings lose. Game 3, Quick is in it the entire game, never lets up, gets the shutout, and is the difference maker in the game. I think, to look at this series, the Blues were up 2-0, now they're up 2-1. I don't think that's a really fair assessment of how tight this series actually is. I think both teams are playing incredibly well. It's very gritty. And up until yesterday's Habs-Senators game, I was going to say the most exciting matchup in the playoffs so far.
Yeah,
lose you by referencing two Canadian teams?
No,
not at all. Hey, I was excited to see. I think it was the Blackhawks game they had yesterday on NBC. It always is a surprise to me when I see hockey on a real channel. You know what I mean? It's nice. How do you like being a huge fan and watching so many games, Colin? And I'll ask you this, Kevin, too. How do you like this team in the playoffs versus last year's team in the playoffs? Just in terms of how well you think they are playing.
Well, I think this team is a little bit different because they have the experience. And I think Kings fans are the same way. I think, last year if the Kings had gone down in a hole 2-0, I think they would have been pulling their hair out and screaming bloody murder. I think this year they were a little bit more relaxed, a little bit calmer, going, the team is going to be okay. Let's just take each game as it comes and see what happens. I think obviously the players are the same way because they're the professionals. We're just sitting around with beer screaming at our televisions or at the fan in front of us. But playoff hockey, I'm sorry, NBA, there is nothing like playoff hockey.
Agreed. There's no sport that steps it up more and is more tense and just down to the second. And the game can turn around in 2 seconds, and you just never know when it's going to happen.
And it's also the only professional sport that I know of where it's like, players are suspended for, a game or two at the drop of a hat, seemingly. They don't do that in any other sport. In basketball, it's not like, oh, well, you're not going to get that player for the next 4 games.
Right, exactly.
There's just so much going on within the game, and it's just so tense and so much fun that every game really matters from the very beginning, not just the final 2 seconds.
Colin
it's
Hanks,
like you just give 100 points and let them play for 2 minutes.
Colin Hanks is on the phone. We're talking about the Kings. I do have a question for you, Colin. What have you noticed, Jonathan Quick? Have you noticed that he's not quite as sharp as he was last year? He had the surgery on his back. He tweaked it the other night.
Remember? I don't buy that at all.
You don't?
I don't buy that at all. I mean, if you look, you even look at Game 1, and Jim Fox said this, that was the best, that's Quick's best game this season. Now, that might not be, you know, Stanley Cup Finals Jonathan Quick. He's got to work up to that. But he's just as quick now as he was last year. I think people are just ready to harp on him, you know, when the games are tight. And that's what happens when you have a one, you know, one to nothing game, when yeah. every single play is magnified a millionfold. You know, people get a little testy. Plus, also, you know, this year he did have a little bit of a rough year, albeit, and Bernier came in and really helped the team out in various causes. So people are trying to play up that sort of, you know, goalie battle there. But I think Quick has been really good, with the exception of two, you know, pretty big mistakes that ended up, you know, altering games.
Well, it's the hardest job in sports is being a goalie. Let's face it. There's nothing tougher than that. We have a pair of passes to the Hyde Lounge inside Staples Center to watch the Kings take on St. Louis. Now, this is for tonight. If you can make it and want to go, you can give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Game is tonight at 7, so Kings fans, get on the phone right now. And, Colin, I have a question for you. What's the status of the black satin jacket? Now, did you just buy it on Saturday, and do you have that Amazon Prime delivery so it'll arrive today, or when will you have it?
I don't know. I'm very concerned. They didn't give me, you know, the fast tracking number. I don't know, guys. It may come today. It may come tomorrow. The only thing that matters is that I've purchased it.
So you right. did your part. Now, do you feel like you have to wear it?
Oh, I'm totally going to wear it as soon as I have it. But the point is, I've appeased the hockey gods.
I see.
They acknowledge
you made a purchase.
It. They respect it. And so hopefully they will smile upon us.
All right. Colin Hanks, I'm glad that we put you back in the mix, because that's what worked for us last year. And before you go, I'm watching 60 Minutes last night, like I do, and I see your ugly mug come up on my TV. And apparently you're on a show called NCIS that airs tonight on CBS?
I'm going to be on an NCIS coming up, I believe, on Tuesday. I think that's
Tuesday. Okay.
Tuesday, yeah. I'm on NCIS on the next two episodes.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, you have such impeccable taste in TV. I always know, you know, ever since going back to Roswell, when I see you like on Mad Men and on Dexter and, of course, Burning Love, I think if Colin Hanks is on it, it must be good. And I'm terrified to think that I'm going to have to watch NCIS, but I guess I'll check it out.
No, you're good, buddy. And I like your taste. The check is in the mail, my friend.
All right, Colin, listen, if you have time, as your busy schedule permits, we may need to do this again between round one and round two, okay?
Guys, we got to appease the hockey gods. Whatever we need to do, we must do.
I agree.
Absolutely. Thanks well for said. The call, dude.
Thank go you, man. Okay. Done?
Yep.
106.7 K-Rock.
But, yeah, no.
Yes.
K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
We're going to talk about a new film coming up after the top of the hour called Aroused, by the way, which is interviews with 16 different adult film stars. These are ladies at the top of their profession who will tell us what it's like working in that world. Yeah. Interesting, interesting documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd feel a lot better if you weren't making those noises.
Yeah. And by talking, you mean...
I mean, we're going to discuss the movie because it's super interesting.
And by interview to the movie, you mean?
Director Deborah Anderson is going to be joining us. And Ralph, one of your favorites, the beautiful Jessie Jane, is here too. So
she's
they'll both
a good
be coming
deal
in.
Right there, that Jessie
she's
Jane.
Awesome. That's on the way, plus your tickets for K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. They are sold out, but you can win them every half hour starting next hour here on K-Rock. Ralph's here. Time for the showbiz beat.
And by sold out, you mean?
What? Just sold out.
Oh.
Yeah.
You guys are no fun.
Let's talk about movies. We do it every Monday morning. We tell you what the biggest movies at the box office were this weekend. Well, there was only really one winner, and I mean that sincerely, because everything else is almost $2 million behind it on this list. Iron Man 3, in its debut, made $175.3 million in its opening weekend.
That's all?
That's all.
175.
That's what that made right there. I'm not even going to bother with the others, because the second biggest grossing movie of the weekend was Pain and Gain. It made a little over $7 million. So,
without giving anything away, how good was Ben Kingsley?
Well, look, Oscar winner Ben Kingsley is always good in almost everything he does, but it's a particularly good turn for him in this
yes,
film.
Yes, it is.
And it's not to sell short, Guy Pearce, who I thought was terrific.
Yep.
And, of course, Robert Downey Jr. is just front and center in this film with all the charm that he possesses just all over that screen. And was I lying when I told you Gwyneth Paltrow?
Super hot.
Super hot and super
yeah.
good, right?
Super good.
Great performance, very entertaining, charming. You fall a little bit in love with her.
Yep.
And then you read the Goop website, and then it takes that all away. So there's a cure. Don't get me wrong.
She's also a talented Oscar-winning actress, but I think that we forget that sometimes because she's so much of a tabloid fixture.
Because everyone hates her so much, you mean? By that? Is that what you meant by that?
That's what he meant, yeah.
And we congratulations to Iron Man 3 being the second largest opening movie ever. Right behind last year's Avengers, which came in with $207 million in its
which also
weekend.
Starred Iron Man.
That's right. So I think the moral of the story, kids, is put Iron Man in your movies. Looking forward to seeing the next, I think 50 Shades of Grey is going to have Iron Man.
It's a different kind of Iron
Man. He's going to be watching. Congratulations to Sugar Bear Thompson and Mama June from Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. Two of them got married this weekend. Wasn't a conventional wedding.
Really?
They were dressed in camouflage in front of their witnesses and guests. In fact, everyone who attended was asked to wear either hunting attire or hot pink.
Okay.
That was the rule.
I'm sure Honey Boo Boo said outrageous things as the flower girl.
She did. I bet they had a lot of cheese-based foods there to everyone eat afterwards, and there was sketty and TLC was there filming the whole thing.
I'm sure
so
they
don't
were.
Worry, you won't miss a minute of it when they do their very timely wedding special.
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
Yeah.
They do seem, I mean, I don't know whether they decided to get married now because they know it makes, you know, for ratings on the TV. But they do seem like a couple that's in love and yeah. are happy together. Yeah. I got to give them that.
I agree. Also, Teen Mom Farrah Abraham back in the news again.
Oh, you love her.
I love her. Did you see her response video to the people who were talking about her selling her video?
I did not.
Now, she's 21 and a single mother, and what else is she going to do? What she has to find a man. Well, the way to do it is to get nailed on camera. That brings all the quality men a running, Farrah. She also told In Touch magazine that she's going to take the money and she's going to get her master's degree with it. And she's also going to pursue, this is my favorite quote, her favorite, her many culinary endeavors in her futures.
Meaning she's going to learn to cook?
Or start a restaurant or something? Well, that was on display.
How many futures does she have?
That was on, that's what I'm saying. She barely has one. That was on display this weekend when the TMZ caught up with her at a pole dancing class in Austin, Texas. I don't know what kind of cooking she's planning on doing. But apparently involves a pole and her vagina.
She makes great choices. Ever since Dr. Drew knocked her up, it's been one thing after another with
Drew
this
had
one.
Nothing to do with her getting knocked.
That's how I remember it.
She was at a pole dancing studio called Brass Ovaries in Texas.
Okay.
See, if you're a guy and you've got guts, they say you got brass balls.
Right.
Well, these girls have brass ovaries.
I see.
And the story is, she's going to create an exercise video based on pole dancing for new moms. Look, there's nothing a woman wants to do after a bowling ball has just dropped out of her vulva, but climb on a pole. There's, trust me, I speak from experience. That's all they talk about. So I think this is going to go well.
Farrah Abramson?
Farrah Abraham, her new video, Farrah Superstar Backdoor Teen Mom. Due out from Vivid any day now, so
it's quite a title.
We'll all be watching.
The hour is coming.
The hour is coming. Today's celebrity birthdays: Gabourey Sidibe, Precious, 30 years old.
She's hilarious, by the way. You guys ever see her on TV?
Very funny. Very
no, very funny.
Very funny. She had a great star turn in a movie that I didn't really care all that much for, but she was really good in that Ben Stiller heist movie.
Yes, she was.
Oh,
she
right,
was
right, right. Tower heist. Yeah, Tower heist. Yeah. 30 years old today. Adrian Palicki is 30 years old today. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters turns 42. The actor George Clooney, you may have heard of him, 52 years old today. TV host Tom Bergeron celebrates his 58th birthday. Singer Bob Seger turns 68. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Now, Lisa May, we're all going to be grown-ups here, right?
Yeah, you're worried about Lisa?
Yeah.
I know how you are. We start to talk about things like this. The movie is called The Aroused Project, thearousedproject.com. Actually, the film is just called Aroused, but that's where you can go if you want to see the movie on demand, or you can see it up on the big screen at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. We're very excited to welcome the director, Deborah Anderson, here to the Kevin DeMille Show on KROQ. Hi, Miss Anderson. How are you?
Applause. How nice.
It's great to see you. A fascinating topic for a movie because, let's face it, whether people talk about it or not, people enjoy pornography. It's one of the biggest businesses in the world, but very rarely have we had a chance to see it as unvarnished as it is in your film, where you kind of strip it down for us, no pun intended, and talk to the women who make the choice to go into the adult film industry. Tell us how you decided this was movie making worthy.
Well, I'll start with saying everything is a pun at this point. Everything I say sounds like I'm directing a porn movie or something going on. It's kind of, it's changed my life. You know, I never made a story about porn until I started to make this story about porn. It was this weird moment of like, I want to do a book and I want to create these images of these women, without the porn mask.
Right.
Strip off that the red lipsticks, the false eyelashes, and create imagery that actually would have you look at these women sort of in more of a sensual way and appreciating the feminine form. And
I can appreciate that decision. That's a good decision. That's a good starting point.
From one woman to another, right? I mean, that's me, not you, Ken.
Right, okay.
and then ultimately having these women in front of me and telling me their stories as I'm shooting them, it became this dialogue about their lives. But I was never, setting out to create something that was going to be this mind-blowing, revelation of the sort of private lives of these women.
So you didn't even start off as making a movie. You started off as making a photo book.
And on the first day of shooting a couple of the girls, they were talking about things that we would never speak about, outside of our bedrooms, really.
Right.
Or, at a dinner table, we talk about the weather, we talk about our jobs, we talk about what we heard on the radio,
the traffic
on K-Rock
today
in the morning.
Because
the traffic.
The rain and all that.
Yeah, we don't talk about sex.
Right.
And if we do, it's definitely your sort of third party, I think, in that sort of revelation of connecting.
Mm-hmm.
So having these girls speak, it was a day of my makeup artist and my hair girls just with our mouths on the floor. I was like, oh my God, they're so at ease with their sexuality.
And that seems to be the major difference between them and us, is that they are just willing to be honest about what they're doing in bed, and we're not.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're not afraid to talk about it.
And I thought it was fascinating, Deborah. And when you're making a documentary, let's face it, you can shoot the story that you have in mind when you're starting out. You can edit a movie to prove the point that you set out to make.
Right.
But I got the impression that you approached this as a blank canvas. Like, you weren't trying to put words in anybody's mouth. You weren't trying to show a story
absolutely.
That you had already. You just wanted to hear what they had to say as unvarnished as possible. And I commend you for that. Were you surprised by their responses to the questions you asked?
Yeah, but you're spot on. It's exactly that. I'd never wrote a script, and I didn't even have a story. I was just like, okay, well, let's talk. And I had some questions because I'd have dinner with friends, and they told me what they wanted to hear.
Sure.
Right.
So that helped a lot with me, but, in answering. I'm not Barbara Walters, and I think that,
That's good.
Well, there's that thing of like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to ask questions and make sense. And I've got 3 hours with each girl, and so we shot it over 9 days, And so, I was afraid that I'd ask the wrong questions and I wouldn't honor them as women, just plain and simple. So that, when they started to answer and start telling me about their childhood or their first kiss or, I started very basic, guys. I wasn't like, okay, so, I don't know. I can't even think of a terrible question. At this point, my filter has gone. But at the first, the first question was like, so tell me about your first kiss. Because it felt like it felt like that first journey into sexuality or at least discovering your own sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And these women, from saying that they'd have one girl had had her breasts enlarged because her mum had had her breasts enlarged, not because the porn industry had wanted her to have the bigger breasts. And that's where you're going, oh, there's another human story. I know that I've looked at my mum and gone, oh, I wish my hair was long and pretty like that, or et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You want to be, the people that you admire. And so these women have that.
Did you, for the most part, get the answers you expected? Or did you not have any expectations?
I didn't have any expectations, and I hadn't seen the work of any of the girls except for Belladonna, whom I had seen her work, and I told her, and she was so excited. and then I didn't know what to say because you don't talk about your sex life. So to see these girls and meet them as women, and then to see them do what they do, like a dog looks at a piece of food and sort of turns its head to the right.
Right.
I was doing a lot of that watching this porn because I was like, oh my God, they do that. that. This, this movie, and they're tiny. They're all so small.
Yes, except where it counts. This movie is called Aroused. Deborah Anderson is speaking of it here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and she talked to some of the top girls in the business, Caden Cross and Lisa Ann and Misty Stone, Tegan Presley, Jesse Jane. You talked to all of them.
Yes.
And I know it's a fairly small sample, 16 women, but did you draw any conclusions about the type of backstory that leads a woman to choose a career in the adult film industry?
You know, I think the common thread, and Caden Cross says it in the film, is that these women, most of them don't have a father in the home, and that's the common thread. So they don't have a father to disappoint. You know, if
is
you're
that
not
right?
Well, if you don't have a community of people supporting you, then you don't have them to disappoint. So it's easier to do things that you wouldn't per se do if you had people going, you know, pushing you in the right direction.
Even if you wanted to do it, you might not if you had a dad.
Well, not just so much a dad, but, you know, if you have a father figure that dotes on you and is giving you that love and adoration, is telling you that you're beautiful, giving you, really supporting you as a father,
right,
then you don't typically want to disappoint him. You
right,
know?
Right. I mean,
yeah.
There are a lot of people, and we hear this from our friend Dr. Drew on Loveline sometimes, who automatically assume if a woman goes into porn that she must have had some sort of abuse in her childhood.
Right.
Did that come up at all?
I'm going to be honest with you that none of these girls had had that experience, or at least the one that spoke about it. There was one girl that spoke about it, and there's a lot of tears. There's a lot of, listen, I think maybe some of the girls wanted to possibly give me the story to freak me out and have that be in the film.
Right.
I didn't use that because I wanted authentic stories. It wasn't about the train wreck. And yes, I think there's definitely some stuff there that maybe was difficult and uncomfortable for a couple of girls, but you'll see it in the film because they do talk about it. And they're, like I said, there are tears. And, you know, I think anything when you're delving into places that don't, you know, honor maybe where you are right now, it's hard to talk about. Lisa Ann hadn't spoken to her father in 26 years or something.
Wow.
Until like a week before we shot the film. And it's just the way you see, you know, you look in their eyes and you see the tears. It was an extremely beautiful experience for me to learn about women that I had assumed were of, you know, dirty, dark alley kind of women. It sounds awful, but you do, because that's kind of what you're taught.
Yeah.
You know?
We're going to take a break. Ralph Garman, who has a segment coming up next, has generously agreed to bump his segment so that we can keep you around, Deborah, and talk some more about this film.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
The movie is called Aroused, and I will tell you, it's very confusing to me and my penis when you have a really hot naked girl in your movie, but she's also crying, because now I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. It's very difficult for me. The movie is called Aroused. You can get it on demand or see it at the Chinese Theater. More with our guest filmmaker, Deborah Anderson, after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Filmmaker, I guess mostly photographer in your life. That's what you've been known to up until this point, right, Deborah Anderson?
Yes, indeed, Bean.
You have done everything. You've done Vanity Fair and Playboy and everything, right? I mean, you've done all sorts of...
I shot Lisa Rinna for the Playboy cover a couple of years ago, and she was amazing. We started the shoot, and she was like, why am I still clothed? Honestly, it was the first time I couldn't wait to get naked. I said, no, Lisa, we need a cover. We need to start with that.
Well, Deborah is here today because of her film that is called Aroused, which the fact that this movie was made sounds like it's as much of a surprise to you as anyone, but it's basically 16 of the top girls in the adult film industry talking about the realities of that world. And we have so many questions. It's so fascinating. You can see the movie on demand. You can buy the book, by the way, through Amazon.com. You can also see the film on the big screen at the Chinese Theater. Lisa, you had a couple of great questions before the break for Deborah.
Jesse is here as well. Hi, Jesse.
Oh, hi.
Jesse Jane.
Hi.
Jane.
How are you?
What's up?
Nothing.
Bye, Deborah.
Oh my God!
I kid.
So transparent.
Jesse is one of the stars in the film as well, and you are hilarious in the movie, my dear. Very funny stuff.
You know what? She told me to be very open and be myself, and I'm just, you know, I'm like that anyways. And it was just so fun working with Deborah, because when she was trying to make it serious, asking the questions, she's like, you can't sex up the eyes. She's like, stop giving that look. Stop.
But Lisa, I want to hear your questions in one sec, but I have to ask Jesse. You said in the movie that you always wanted to be a weather girl. Why did you not continue going into that? You would be the most popular weather girl in history.
You know, I get bored very easily, and I didn't want to go through school anymore, and it's a lot of math and science, and
yeah.
I just wanted to travel, and I was doing Hawaiian Tropics and being a model and having fun going to all these cool places with a lot of hot girls.
Sounds
and
a lot better.
Going to parties, and it was just way more fun than school.
Sounds a lot better than school.
All right, Lisa, okay. Question number one.
Well, question one, number one would be, I would be curious about how you guys balance your personal life with your work life and how difficult relationships are to maintain.
With me, it's definitely different. I actually went through a divorce with somebody that was in the industry who was understanding, so that cares, that he didn't care. He understood the business. And now that I've been dating, you know, my boyfriend, it's completely different because nobody understands that world. And, you know, you have to have somebody that trusts you, or you have to figure out what you want to do in your life. What's worth more? You know, do you want to do a relationship? So you just... you have to make changes to go with what you want in life.
Is your boyfriend in the business?
No.
He's not. Okay, so he's not. So is that does that make it difficult?
It did make it difficult, yeah. So there was just changes that had to be made to, you know, maintain that relationship. And, you know, there's certain things that are more important and everything, and you just have to figure yourself out.
Now, most of the girls were like that. Though most of the girls, I'll say that when they spoke about relationships, they were very quick to say that either they get it or they don't, because they'll look at the guys will look at the girlfriend as being unfaithful in some weird way because they're doing these films.
Even and they may say they don't think that, but somewhere deep down they do, and it comes out. And
it's always fun to date a porn star at first. You're just thinking, oh, yeah.
She must be good.
Yeah.
And my friends are going to think I'm the best. Of course.
Exactly, until they see a couple of your movies.
Right.
And then change their mind.
But what's interesting, though, guys, is that the problem that the boyfriend has is kind of a small part of a primary question, Deborah, that you asked at the very beginning of the film, which is, why do most of us have this feeling that porn stars are bad? That's the primary question. Is it's legal, legitimate work that people choose to do on their own, that they enjoy and they want to do, yet somehow we still look down on that? And that was kind of the question you asked at the beginning. Did you come up with any answers as to why we just can't wrap our heads around it as just being another legitimate choice for work?
I think there's a lot of judgment right there. I just think ultimately we sit and we judge others for their choices. But basically, I think the beginning of the argument was, you know, why don't we take a look at ourselves? Like, what is our part in this situation? If porn is such a big thing and everybody's watching it, then why are we looking at it as a bad thing? Like, it just seemed like a double standard.
All become hypocrites by buying it, enjoying it, using it, but then denouncing it.
Absolutely. I mean, before shooting the movie, I was asking, I'd go for dinners and I'd ask some friends, you know, about the fact that I was going to do this project. Do they have questions? And of course, tons and tons of people asking me to ask the girls certain things about their lives. And I found that there's a lot of people at the dinner table. It would be like a segregated moment where the wives would look at me with some, you know, weird look in their eyes. And then the husband going, oh, I've never heard of Jesse Jane. But you know when you're going,
tell he's lying.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I'm like, that's kind of interesting the way that you're not looking at your wife. And then you're going, oh, it's because you're not communicating. And so ultimately the argument for me became like, well, if we were all communicating and we were all enjoying sex in a healthy, beautiful way, then either we could use porn to educate ourselves or entertain, you know, if that's something that you're down on, you don't have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever, but to honor that beyond the abuse of that, because it goes down a slippery slope if not.
Well,
you know,
well, I think also a lot of thing is when you use the word porn, you think about the news and it's child pornography and stuff. Yeah. So when people associate porn, they think of all the bad stuff they hear on the news, porn or abuse of women, or, you know, they start thinking into, you know, human trafficking. They just think of anything because they consider that porn as well.
There's also the stigma of the porn star as an abused kid.
Yeah, like somebody thinks you're 100%. Damaged. Yeah. You were abused before, so all of a sudden you did that, or you have some drug problem or anything, and they don't accept that. It's a form of entertainment that nobody's forced into. You sign the papers, you're old enough, and some people truly enjoy the art. And the thing is like everybody says, you know, you're all hypocrites. People watch it. In Europe, they have it on cable. Like, people are
they really do have it.
Sex is celebrated. Yeah. It's something everybody does. I don't care what religion you are or anything, your beliefs. You have sex to make a family.
Well,
you know,
the biggest
has sex.
The biggest frustration for me, Jesse, and I'm sure you follow these stories with interest as we do, is we'll see a few times a year a teacher, for instance, will get fired because it's revealed that she at one time did an adult movie. And that's just so insane. Like, somehow you can't be a teacher, or you can't be a smart person, you can't be competent in something else just because you had sex on camera. It's just, it's crazy the way we treat it.
Well, and I think honestly, and as sad as it is, it's always going to be that way. It's never going to be fully accepted here than anything. thing. Somebody's always going to have their views and push their beliefs on somebody else. And my only question to people like that is, you're not forced to watch it. We're not forced to do it. We choose to do it. You could choose to watch it.
Or
so
not.
We have our beliefs. You have your beliefs. Nobody's going to ever believe or have the same beliefs or agree on something. Everybody's, you know, that's what makes the world. That's what makes people different.
Yeah,
otherwise,
that's a beautiful thing. Otherwise, we'd all be bored stiff because we all agree with each other.
Or we'd be really boring.
For sure. And I was just saying earlier when I think I first came in, I was like, oh, wow, you know, this movie comes out and I have all these different point of views. And then I have the critics criticizing.
Now, how did that? What was that like? Like, what? Where did they come from? What? Which angles?
But that's
all
the,
sides.
That's the funny thing is, like, I'm talking about a film, or I created a piece of film where you sort of drop the judgment and stop with the assumptions, and maybe look at these women in different eyes. And then everyone looked at me and went, "Who do you think you are? And, you know, how dare you? You know, create something that it doesn't go that deep, and it's not deep enough." And I think someone said, "You know, the movie's not that great, but by default, Deborah Anderson's the best thing about it." So I liked him. Even though he was being really mean, he liked me. You know, it's like that weird thing. It's like, well, no, I wasn't setting out to make this documentary because people wanted to see behind the scenes of the porn sets. They wanted to go into, you know, the homes of these women. I was like, no, I was making a book. You're lucky any of them spoke.
Right.
Well, and that's why she put us, like, no makeup. You know, they were like, I want the natural. I don't want you sexed up. And they're like, oh, hey, that's da-da-da, you know. She didn't want you sexed up. She wants you natural, like a normal human being.
Yeah.
So people wouldn't even look at you when they're like, oh, wait a minute, you have like no makeup on.
I may not think
you,
it's you.
Yeah.
But they'd go, wait, is that Jessie Jane? Like, they'd do a double take.
Uh-huh.
Taking them out of what they used to being. Like, you see it today, looking beautiful in the natural makeup.
That's what I did today, is I didn't sex up.
You look beautiful in your natural makeup.
Jessie, how will you look back on these years in the business? Because at some point they will end. In 20 years, how will you look back on this time in your life, do you think?
You know what? I've been in the business for over 10 years. It was very, very good to me. You know, I did have a lot of fun, and I have no regrets. I think a lot of things change.
Sure.
The industry has changed with all the laws passing and the way things are. I don't think it's the same. And the way the internet kind of came over, everybody saw it to making the thing. So there's definitely a lot of changes. And so I think I got in at a great time when I did to really enjoy it when it was still at the peak before it kind of started going out and they started not caring about stars. It was all internet and anybody could be a porn star.
Right.
That doesn't make you a porn star. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. There's a porn star.
Absolutely. And then there's a porn actress.
And then you just watch.
Does it drive you crazy when Farrah Abraham, the teen mom, gets almost $1 million for her little video that she just shot?
It drives me crazy because the only reason why is, you know, I hate the people that lie and fake. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was
her. Can't believe there's a sex tape out. All these celebrities fake it. And the truth is you sign a distribution deal and a deal. And what's sad about it is it's so fake. And then it gets popular really quick. But people like that, like the only reason why I have a problem with her, if she wants to do it, it's her decision. That's great that you want to do it. I have no problems with that. But that's celebrating, like somebody who was getting celebrating for being a teen mom and it was making it cool to be pregnant as a teenager.
Right.
And now we're like, oh, just because she was a teen mom, all of a sudden you're famous. And so now, and look at what she's trying to do. She's hurting
right.
for money because she's not doing the teen mom thing. So now, now you're a porn star.
Well, I'm sad that we are out of time. And Jessie, I want you to come work for us and do traffic on the Kevin and Bean show.
You know,
I wouldn't mind.
Well,
right here,
I will do
Jessie,
the traffic.
And sex up Kevin.
The film is fascinating. If you have any kind of interest in this world, Deborah does an outstanding job with the interviews. And by the way, I should mention, it's not without saying that the girls are all naked while they're doing the interviews. So if that is appealing to you, you might want to check out the movie.
I kept trying to mess with Deborah. I'm like, hey.
She said that she was uncomfortable because you kept looking at her like you wanted her, and she didn't know how to react to that.
I kept looking at her like a piece of meat, and she's like, stop. And then at some points, I didn't know I was doing it, but it was hot. You have a girl that's beautiful and super hot, so you're just like, and my initial reaction was like, hey.
Exactly. As well it should be.
I'm already naked, so why not?
Well, the movie is called Aroused. You can get it on demand or see it on the big screen at the Chinese Theater. It's very, very interesting. Deborah, thank you so much for coming in. It's great to meet you.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Jessie, we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, my dear.
Oh, you know it.
Tomorrow we have an all-new Kevin Avicii. We have Lamorne Morris in the program. He plays Winston on New Girl. We've got Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And Anderson Silva from the UFC will be in the studio.
Awesome.
Thank you, girls, for coming in. We appreciate it. And we'll see everybody
tomorrow.
Thanks
for having us.